Hello? This is Lawrence, Kansas.
Hello?
Is anybody you're on the, there?
You're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to the Nugent concert this week, and I'm taking some pot and some acid, and I'm taking some coke, and I'm taking a couple of quarts of rum, and I was wondering if there's anything else that I should take.
Chiropractor.
That's definitely the 21st century version of that gig, of that joke. I'm amazed. How do I sound? Because normally when I get on this thing, I have to spend 15 minutes figuring out why I'm not working.
You sound great, sir.
Oh, thank fuck. I need to figure out whatever you use to record this stuff because I'm currently performing surgery on the last soundboard to try to get it to sound good. I don't know what the problem is. I don't have your Midas touch. nor your Midas muffler.
What about my Midas penis?
Whoa.
Never mind. I shouldn't be talking about that in public.
Did you get vajazzled? No, John fucked me. Now everything sparkles. What?
Just like Jem. Oh, hey, wait a minute.
Oh! Okay, that is the weirdest segue ever. That is almost inappropriate. But
why is this not?
Then again, we're us.
That's what she said.
Oh, dear God. So Serve is not digging Daredevil.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that?
Has he been replaced by a Skrull?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
It must have, because seriously, dude, that's... actually, what I was talking about my buddy Duncan, who is a big Punisher fan, and I keep going, I go, you know... Maybe they could make an actual Punisher series.
Well, you know, you caught the reference in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
To Punisher?
Yeah.
No.
At Which some episode? Time, I think it was during the... I want to say it was during the first season. It might have been the first part of the second. Sky mentioned that she got some information from a guy she knows called Microchip.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely forgot about it, but yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, and I am 8 episodes into Daredevil. I have not finished it yet.
I think that I am only... I think I'm on the 6th episode.
Okay.
The last...
Oh, so you haven't met... well, you know he's in it. You haven't met Scott Glenn yet.
Oh, no, I did. When does he come in?
Okay, episode 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the last episode I watched. Stick.
Okay.
Stick was the last one I watched, yeah.
He was great.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, because the last thing I saw was...
It's a Scott.
The last thing I saw was that guy with the scars on his back.
Yeah. So, Scott, are you watching Daredevil?
What do you mean, I watched Daredevil?
Hey! He's ahead of both of us.
It is a wonderful way... Even Marvel can even do grim and gritty without making you feel like you need a shower.
So all three of us have seen the one take fight. I think it was at the end of episode 2 with the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
that was fantastic.
It's I've talked about this before, but the Marvel studio seems to be doing a great job of the details. I mentioned this before. I think it was every now and again I'll catch something that seems very. Specific. In other words, like when Captain America in Winter Soldier, when he's running down the stairs and he takes a corner to A, he's not making all the corners perfectly, but B, he hits the corner a little too hard and leaves a dent in the wall,
right?
Which is a detail that normally would go it's a detail that I appreciate. And the same thing with that fight is that, A, it was not pretty. It was awesome, but it wasn't pretty. It was obviously he was tired. He was beat down. He was,
And what I heard was that I read an interview with the fight coordinator. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
I read an interview with a fight coordinator, and he basically got the job doing a previz on that fight. And he said, what was it? He said, there's some show where he had like a week to work on it, and that what he did in like 2 days.
Mm.
But he did the previz in 24 hours, and they gave him the job. But I absolutely love how he fights. He fights like somebody with those powers would fight, as opposed to a sighted person who just who is pretending to have those powers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron, do you even have Daredevil over there yet?
Any Netflix original series is on all the Netflixes.
Okay, good, good. So have you watched it yet?
I've only watched we finished the last episode we watched was number 7, which was the stick episode.
So you're
you're same place I am.
With John, yeah. And I'm one ahead of you, and Scott's seen all of them. So
okay.
Am I the only one who powered through?
Well, I'm watching it with watching it with Cosette, which is fascinating, by the way, because now because she's been working on television stuff, she'll go like, oh, God, that must have been a bitch to do. And then she'll tell me why. And it's even worse than I thought. So we've been kind of taking a break and savoring it.
That stitching must have taken hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kept asking her, how are they doing the mask? How are they doing the mask? And she's like, I'm not sure. But then we finally read an article which talked about it. So,
well,
much the same reason.
What's that?
Like, my reasoning for not having seen it all is pretty much the same. I'm watching it with Orla, and she has a real job and a life. So we're getting there. But it is fun watching it with her as well, because she's asked, like, two questions, which kind of cracked me up. It was like, oh, so, like dude, does Matt Murdock and blank get together? And I'm just like, oh, if you like her, pray that they don't. Because only bad things will come for it. And then the other thing I said to her, which made her laugh, was, oh, yeah, by the way, he's terrible at keeping his secret identity. And she's like, yeah, I noticed. He is the worst.
Well, it's not as bad as it was in the movie, though, so.
This is true. But it is even in the comics, he's just terrible at it.
Well, I am truly enjoying it, not only because of the grim and gritty nature of it, but because I think Charlie Cox is fantastic. Because to me, my favorite moments with him aren't even when he's with Daredevil. It's when he's Matt and he says stuff like, you know, we need the room. Please don't make me ask you again. And he just says it with the air of, I really will have to stand up and kick your ass, even though you just think I'm blind. I love that. And I love Vince D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk. He is fucking scary.
I know, and he managed to introduce some twitchy weirdness, which is his staple.
Yes.
Well, I have a question for the gang, though, because I've been making a lot of fun and making a lot of angry noises about how Fox don't understand how to make and Warner Brothers don't understand how to make comic book movies, because they think they have to make them grim and, like quote unquote dark, to apply to mature audiences,
right?
And hence why Batman vs Superman looks really like just like depressing, and then the Fantastic Four has the same sort of issue of just looking like kind of grim. But Daredevil, this TV show, is dark and grim, but yet at the same time doesn't bug me, and I'm trying to figure out in my head what the differences are.
Well, the difference is, if I may, is that DC has come out and said that their movies will not have any humor in them at all. and which is stupid, because even the stuff that has poisoned DC for years, as in Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen, there are some funny fucking things in both of those series. You know, my favorite moment in Dark Knight Returns is when Carrie as Robin reprograms the Bat vehicle that they're in, you know, and Batman climbs back in and goes, thrusters, thrusters, what the fuck? And she basically just goes, peel, and the thing takes off. I love that. I absolutely love that. Even in Daredevil, you've got Eldon Henson, who I've loved since The Mighty, which was like 98 or something. He's a fantastic Foggy. And their interaction, I think, is really great. It's really, honestly, the sort of friendship that you have with somebody you've been through the wars with, you know? And
I was a little bit worried in the first episode because he seemed to be like the creepy friend of, well, did you fuck her? Did you? Huh?
Yeah,
but
that
calmed down straight away.
Well, I think the main problem I had in the first episode where there were two instances of, what do you call it? Over-explaining things.
Okay.
But like when they're having the conversation between them, pretending the realtor's not there. Well, he said such and so and such so. Oh, yeah, well, he said such and so and such so. Where it's obviously you're catching us up on what we need to know.
Mm.
You know, exposition dump, basically.
Yeah.
But they're so fun that I'm like, ah, fuck it. I don't care. I'm having a good time. But I think...
They are a delightful couple.
They are. And
why haven't they hooked up in the comics instead of, like Daredevil and Karen Page or whatever?
Because you're not writing it.
That's true. I would make it so much better.
Well, what was it? I just saw something on Comic Book Resources that they outed Iceman.
Yep. What?
Well, okay. I read up on this. So this is the thing.
Tell me the thing.
Okay. You know how they brought like the original Iceman from like the 60s up to now, but the ones that are here now are still here.
Because there's only one Iceman.
No, well, there's technically just two in the current multiverse because they brought 1960s X-Men.
He said they brought the Iceman to the present. Oh. So
I didn't do my enunciation exercises. Okay,
petty. Well, petty.
Anyway, how to describe it? The teenage Iceman, let's put it that way, is outed because Jean Grey says, "Well, you know." You know you're gay, and he's like, and he tries to deny it, but yeah, he's gay. So Jean Grey basically outed him.
In the past.
Well, no, in the present.
But from the past.
The past Iceman. But here's the thing: they don't really specify if present Iceman is gay or not.
But wait a minute. If they're the same person,
see, that's the thing.
Well, here's the thing.
I've read like the little pages they did of this outing, and one of the things they talk about is, you know, if I'm gay, does that mean that present Iceman is gay? But then they say, well, he's dated women, but then they counter, well, not successfully. You know, he dated Kitty Pryde. Yes, she's in space now. So they haven't really said one way or the other.
Wait, she's in space again?
Supposedly.
Okay.
She's dating.
I don't know about that. Okay. So I don't know. But they haven't really said one way or the other. Because the thing is, you could have he's just completely present. Iceman could be really, really in the closet, which can happen. This one, because of timey wimey stuff, this could be a different Iceman somehow that is straight. So we haven't really had a confirmation per se that present Iceman, for various reasons, is also gay.
Yeah, see, they're running on the type of time travel theory, which basically means that just by time traveling, you're automatically creating an alternate universe just for the fact of doing it. Like, just as soon as you land in another time zone, you are creating a different timeline.
Well, not another time zone, because I've been in many time zones.
Eastern, Mountain,
Central.
Hell, does my trips to Dragon Con alone would cause all sorts of Terminator problems, but yeah.
You know what? The Secret Wars are your fault, Aaron.
Yep.
Sorry, guys.
Hey,
okay. Whoa, okay. What happened to your hand?
DC, what?
Oh, this is just because of repetitive stress. That's all that is.
Wait. I don't have the video on, but have you been wanking that much, Aaron?
It depends on which hand you're referring to.
The one with all the hair in the palm.
He's really just warming that hand up.
Right.
Morning. Is there anybody in the universe with hair on their palm? Is it actually physically possible to have hair on your
palm? Yeah, Lon Chaney Jr. in that movie. I saw it. It was a documentary.
So we have not had actual confirmation that present Iceman is gay or has admitted he's gay. But
now,
past
I've been reading,
Iceman has said he is.
I've been reading those comics. Is that all new X-Men that came out in, was it?
This one, this is leaked, so this is actually coming out tomorrow, I believe. This issue.
Oh, has to come out. Okay, yes. Yeah, so I was wondering because I haven't read that issue yet.
Here.
So they've outed Iceman. So Iceman is out before the issue in which he's outed is out.
There you go.
Isn't that outrageous?
Oh, no.
What?
Don't worry, John's not really on the ball anymore, so it's fine.
What'd you say?
Pun, but yeah.
It's fine, John. Don't worry about it.
Wait, what about John and his balls? What?
What I would say is that, one, it could turn out that she's fucking with him. Two, it could, everything's coming to an end soon anyway. So this could all be redundant in the sense of this could never matter and his whole timeline could be erased and there is...
To be fair, Aaron, this is Marvel, so that could happen at any point.
I'm going to give some credit in the sense that I feel like they've rebooted things less lately.
You mean only once every 3 months?
No, I give them credit. In the last 10 years, I can't really think of many comics that they've gone, all right, wipe it clean, we're going to start again. Spider-Man is the only one that I can think of that they really fucked with on a major scale. Now, this one coming up is more to sort out the Ultimate Universe than it is the current one. From what I can tell, obviously it hasn't happened yet, so I could be surprised, but it just seems to be to fix the problem of, we wanted to get rid of the Ultimate Universe, but there's one or two characters that we want to keep. So it seems to be, oh, we'll move them to the main universe, it'll be fine. Sure, why not? But we'll see.
Which is a shame, because I actually enjoyed the Ultimate Universe at the beginning.
Yeah.
I've seen what they've done to it since, which is a bit fucking crazy. Everything worked but X-Men, which we've discussed ad nauseum. But my concern about the whole Miles Morales thing, if he's coming over, is that aren't there like 25 Spider characters in the 616 now or something?
There was a storyline, I haven't kept up with it too closely, but there was a storyline where all the potential Spider-Mans from every universe were brought together for a story, like a la Secret Wars. But I don't think they were permanent guests. So I think it's just Spidey and Spider-Woman, and I think that's it, in the main universe, 616.
What happened to the other Spider-Woman?
She was always Future, wasn't she?
No, because remember, she started in Secret Wars, the original Secret Wars. Let me look her up.
Oh my god.
See? It's Marvel!
I went to a Marvel quiz tonight.
Fuck him up? Which universe is that question referring to, sir?
There was a genuine moment where I had to go to the Quizmaster and go, okay, spell the name of that character, and are you referring to the Marvel Cinematic Universe or the comic universe? He just looked at me and was like, dude, come on. There was like 20-odd teams, and we came fourth, and we just missed out on getting prizes for third by 1 point. And I fucked it up because there was a round where they were asking for the name of Whiplash in the movies, his real name. And I said Ivan Stanko like a fucking idiot, but it's Vanko. So that would have been the point that tied us. So, and I couldn't remember the name of the general that Tommy Lee Jones played either. That was another point that I missed out on.
So let's see. So Spider-Woman, you've got Jessica Drew.
Yeah.
You've got Julia Carpenter, who was the Secret Wars one I was thinking of. Who apparently
I haven't seen or heard or sight nor sound of her in like years and years and years and years and years.
Well, she's apparently now Madame Web, and before that she was Arachne, and then at some point she was in the Avengers in Omega Flight. there was Maddie Franklin, who the hell is that? Who was Spider-Woman and was with the Loners. Oh, she's got the crazy half-Iron Man outfit. Then there's Charlotte Witter, who was a supervillain.
Wait, Charlotte Witter?
Yes.
Really?
Then there was the Skrull, who impersonated Jessica Drew. Then there was a Golden Age comic book character called Spider-Woman. Let's not even count the one from the Spidey Super Stories on the Electric Company. But,
oh, but you'll count the one that was the Skrull, really, Witch? Really?
No, wait. Where was Shirley? Okay, Shirley, I'm just going by Wikipedia, which is always right. The Marvel, Shirley, the Electric Company, there is, if Earth 616 is the regular Marvel Universe and the MCU has a number, what number is the Electric Company Marvel Universe? That must exist. Numbers.
Well, the cinematic is 1999999.
So where is?
Because tonight we're gonna party like it's 1999999999.
You know, back to Daredevil and like the problem that Warner Brothers and Fox has with the Graham and Grady stuff is the thing is it doesn't work with the characters. I mean. Daredevil, Grim and Gritty works. Superman, it doesn't work. That's not the character. And the same thing with Fantastic Four. That is not the tone that they've had from the majority of their run.
Well, to be fair, at least in Fantastic Four, the trailer had a couple of humorous bits in it. I don't know how, you know, I'm not saying they're very effective, but I'm saying they're at least trying to have some humor in it. Whereas Batman v Spider-Man, Superman doesn't work for multiple reasons. One, I don't understand how you fast forward in time from Man of Steel to Dark Knight Returns, and yet Batman and Superman have apparently never worked together, never fought together, because part of the whole point of Dark Knight Returns was that Batman sure as hell knew that Superman could bleed, and wouldn't be surprised if he did, because they had been simpatico for a few decades. So you have no prehistory there going on. And this is the Man of Steel sequel. But if that's the case, then Dark Knight Returns, Superman's a douchebag. So you're doing your Man of Steel sequel with Superman as a douchebag? Really? And you're trying to launch Justice League off of this. Make up your fucking mind what you're trying to do with one fucking film. You know?
And it looks like what's his face? Superman has like troops or an army or something.
Who knows? Who knows?
You talking about the people with the weird skull face painting?
No. Where he's in like it looks like a bunker, and the soldiers are bowing down, and they seem to have like little Superman symbols on them.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see the Superman symbols. I thought they were just like kind of special forces.
They
guys.
Did like a blow up, and you know.
Okay.
But well, no, it's. I don't. I mean, that's not Superman. You know,
no.
Superman's a Boy Scout. This guy is a fucking mercenary for Blackwater.
That would actually be a better movie. That would. I think you've stumbled onto something there, and I look forward to your Elseworlds proposal.
The problem is, of course, I can't use the black costume. I'd have to think of something else. You know, because of black.
And tux. Yeah, I know. It is frustrating. It's like that bit in The Simpsons where Lisa's trying to figure out a puzzle and can't because her brain's having an off day, and like Ralph gets it. And he wants to tell her, but she's like, don't tell me, I want to figure it out on my own. But you're suffering! I just feel like that's kind of Marvel's production house and what Warner Brothers and Fox are trying to do at the same time. It's like, they like, Marvel have figured it out the way to do this, like, years and years and years ago now. Like, I mean, it's what, like, nearly it's coming up on 10 years now of these movies that they've been churning out like a factory, and all of them have been hits. And it's just, it's Marvel are still making these, Warners and Fox are still making these fucking just mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. And you just want to go over to them and go, no, seriously, let me sit you down and tell you why you keep fucking up, because this is getting sad now. I can't watch it anymore.
The thing is, it's weird. It's like they think Marvel is fun and humorous, that to be different, they have to be all this dark shit. You know, it's like, no, we want to be different. We want to do it this way. But that doesn't mean it's good.
Well, that was the reason why Marvel has been outdoing them in the box office, like, so hard. Is that difference, because the thing they're doing is not what's working, and I know you want to stand out, but I don't even know if they do want to stand out, because I'm not entirely sure that's accurate, because with the Justice League format that they're trying to put in now, which is such a copy of Marvel's Avengers format,
That's the other thing. You can smell the desperation. Even if it was a halfway decent idea, you'd be like, yeah, that's flop sweat.
No. That's what The Rock is cooking.
Flop sweat?
It's weird. When did John become the guy with the shit connection?
He's having to carry the rest of us. That's the problem. But no, first of all, I couldn't find. I just tweeted to Marvel asking them what the official multiverse number for the Electric Company Spider Super Stories was. I'm sure they'll get back to me shortly. I know they listen. Part of the problem is that they've two things. I don't think they're following the same format. They might think they are, but they're not, because Marvel laid the groundwork before Avengers.
Oh, no, they're trying to fast-track their way in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And part of the other problem is they took the wrong lesson from Christopher Nolan. The reason why Christopher Nolan worked was because he managed to create a grim and gritty Batman that yet appealed to a broad audience. And it
also had humor. That was the thing.
And still had bits of humor in it. I mean, there's a reason why after, you know, the great murder scene in Macbeth, you go to the drunk guy guarding the door and have a humorous scene there. The same reason that rolls down through the ages till Coulson in Avengers saying, so that's what it does. Because you have to relieve the tension. If you never relieve the tension, it just builds and builds and builds, and there's no outlet.
That's why I tell my wife all the time.
With your Midas penis.
Yes.
But that's part of what I think they took away from the Dark Knight trilogy, the Nolanverse, is that, Batman makes everything better, hence shoving Batman into Man of Steel 2, what was supposed to be Man of Steel 2. And, people love grim and gritty because Dark Knight worked, and that was grim and gritty, but all the stuff we tried to do beyond that wasn't, so therefore we should make everything grim and gritty. I mean, the example I gave on Facebook was executives saying, well, the reason that the Star Trek franchise before the reboot died was because, the science fiction genre is just tired. What? Really? You mean that genre that's pretty much been going straight since the, 50s? That's tired now?
Well, it's kind of, I think, what my personal belief and the reason why the first two Batman Nolan films were so good was that he wasn't making superhero films. He looked at, Batman is the greatest detective in the world. I'm going to make cop dramas, and I'm going to make gangster movies that a detective would have to solve and fix, and I'm just going to put the Batman elements in there. So I think people were able to grasp onto that concept really easily, and so appeal to a really wide base. Essentially, The Dark Knight is essentially like The Untouchables,
It's
a crime epic. It's a crime epic in which just a few people manage to be costume maniacs. That's it.
Yeah, and it works because Batman's format can fit in so easily into that kind of prearranged mold.
Yes.
And I don't know what they were going for with Man of Steel. I still actually haven't sat down and watched that whole film.
You're not missing much.
Let me ask you this. Was Man of Steel funny? Did it have...
Well, it was funny in a way that I wouldn't consider to be funny. There were some bits that were so ludicrous as to be hilarious, but I don't think that's what they were going for.
It's interesting because I keep thinking of that line from the film where he says, like, the F means hope. And this whole road that they brought him down, like, you know, where he's supposed to be, like, you know, hated by all the people now because they fear him and all that kind of stuff. And it's almost like, Superman, did you not read your own script? It was like, where is the hope in anything in his movies? That was directed by Zack Snyder. It's a weird thing.
Well, and oddly enough, Dark Knight Returns, the book ends very hopefully, you know? So it's like, again, they have only seen in the source material or in what's come before what they want to see, you know? So they see that the grim and gritty works, so that's what they think is the right, is the lesson they've learned, which is the wrong lesson. When, as you said, Aaron, it's a well-written, I mean, because if you think about it, what are the Marvel movies? You know, Captain America Winter Soldier is a spy techno thriller that happens to have a superhuman person in it, right?
And Captain America
was a war epic.
It was a World War II. It was a great World War II film in which one of the characters happens to be superhuman, you know? True enough. But the main character is the superhuman, and beyond that, it's a full-on World War II movie. So that's why being well written is what these films need. Because I mean, shit, like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, was a love letter to horrible science fiction movies of the 70s and 80s.
Well, think who directed it and who he worked with. You know. The guy worked for Corman, so.
Oh, no, I know. But if you go back and watch his earlier stuff, especially stuff like the specials, you can just see that, you know, where his heart is. And so, you know, again, it's the fact that it's Marvel is incidental. Like even Daredevil. Again, it's a grim and gritty street-level crime show that just happens to have a superpowered guy in it.
But they left those interesting little bits open for, you know, some really crazy wushu martial arts shit.
Yeah. So that when you have something really crazy, like, you can smell somebody's cologne three floors down from here, it's actually really cool, as opposed to, so it's somebody else who's weird in this weird universe.
Or you can't fly? Well, fuck you.
What I thought was quite good, and I've, you know, I've been with my girlfriend for 9 years, and she's had to learn to, you know, watch a lot of comic book related TV shows and movies with me.
And to deal with you.
I like how John's turned into Deputy Dog.
Yep. listeners, if you play that last part at home, you get a magic code. Please send it on a postcard to British Airways, and we'll have a drawing for a prize.
57780.
But what I was saying was so she doesn't read comic books. She's not into the format, but she's watched a lot of the stuff with me, and she likes the vast majority of it. But when she was watching Daredevil with me, the first couple of episodes, she turned to me and says, like, this is very much like Breaking Bad, in the sense of this is a guy who's just making a series of unfortunate decisions, and it's making everything in his life fall apart around him. And I don't think there's a higher compliment you can give a TV show right now than just kind of like, this is gripping to watch this man's life fall apart. But it's like you said, it's written in that format of, you could take that and make it a parody of 1980s, like, cop gone rogue movies. Like, you know, those all kind of like, you know,
oh yeah.
His chief, like, you know, kicked him out of the force for excessive violence, and now he's going to take it to the mob boss on his own, like that sort of thing.
So you're saying that this is one step removed from Sledgehammer?
Well, I want to be your Sledgehammer.
Considering I had to review that, there's possibilities, yeah. Yeah.
But
it's a big gun, yeah.
So what I'm fascinated by is what they're going to do with Jessica Jones, because her comic book at its heart is a kind of private dick noir style comic. And so will we get that type of show, or will they play on the more comic elements, because they do have a good comic actress there, and play it more like a kind of not a sitcom, but like, you know. So has anyone seen Sensitive Skin?
I have, but
don't think so.
I put a salve on it and it was fine afterwards.
Kim Cattrall has a new TV show. I think it's made by a Canadian television channel, but it's actually very good. It's a one camera shot kind of drama / dark comedy, and it's about a woman going through a midlife crisis, yeah, like kind of, you know, hitting that kind of menopausal kind of midlife crisis age. And it's very, very good. It's really kind of well shot. Like, it's like an indie movie, essentially, split into like 6-7 parts. Yeah, I could kind of, you could see them do a similar sort of style show with Alias, but you could spin that a couple of different ways. So it'd be interesting to see how they do it anyway. But yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, based on Daredevil, and based on the fact that they are all supposedly taking place at the same street level of the MCU, which, by the way, I absolutely love the fact that the thing, the impetus for all of this to kick off is the quote-unquote incident from Avengers. I absolutely love that you're seeing repercussions of that happening throughout the MCU. You know, it caused Winter Soldier to happen. It caused Iron Man 3 to happen. So just like Marvel did in the comics, things have consequences, you know?
And in a way, it caused Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Close
to death and
yeah, causes
it to get a lot better.
Oh, by the way, that code I gave you is actually the number for the Earth that has the Spider Super Stories.
What? Where'd you get that?
Marvel's Wiki.
And the Marvel Wiki?
Marvel Wiki. It is history. Homeworld of Jennifer of the Jungle, Captain Mighty, Mad Scientist, Walt, and Blowhard. These are the comics that they made when the Spider thing, Spider-Man on Electric Company became popular.
I love Marvel and its ridiculous encyclopedias of universes.
Yep, in 74, following the debut of Spider-Man on the Electric Company, Marvel's comics introduced Spidey Super Stories. Aimed at younger audiences, the series features Spider-Man, his friends, and regular rogues gallery, as well as guest appearances by other heroes mingling with Electric Company characters such as Rita the Director, Easy Reader, Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay.
I think I just stunned Widge.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to read as much of it as he possibly can in this short period of time. I must inhale this knowledge.
I think we broke Widge.
No, I'm right here. I'm looking it up.
Because he doesn't believe you is really what it boils down to.
What?
What?
I said he... Oh, forget it.
See, this is what happens when you, like, just walk away from the mic for 10 hours and then come back to it again. The mic is just kind of like, wait, what the fuck? You're here?
Wait, where is it? Where are you seeing that? Where is the, I'm in the comic area.
It's a good beat you got going, John.
Okay, it is Marvel. It's Marvel Wikia.
Right.
WIKIA.com.
Yeah.
It's Earth 57780.
Oh, okay.
Riveting podcasting where we're looking.
Oh
shit,
my god!
If you're playing along at home,
I was kidding.
Website page.
I was kidding. Well, that's what this podcast is really all about. I have holy shit! That's amazing. Wow. Okay, I gotta tweet this. Well played, Scott. Well played. Oh dear God.
I went to that page and on the right hand side it says must watch videos. And one is the Avengers boy band and their song Avenge You. Holy shit, I need to watch this right
what?
Now.
What?
Hold on, let me get the actual link so I can send
that's
it to you.
That's not right.
Gone down the internet rabbit hole.
It happens.
Yeah.
Okay,
we could be going
trailers,
for the evening. Guys.
But anyway, real quick about Jessica Jones. My thought is because they are doing the street level thing, my hope is that you really do get the noir aspect of it going. And the fact that they've got Purple Man in there leads me to believe it's not going to be so funny. You know what I mean? Because that aspect of the original series was not very funny.
And I'm hoping it's just with the costume. It's not. They're going to make him actually purple.
I would be okay with him being
in
purple.
In the late 90s.
Well, even if what they could do is just have a very slight hint of it in the skin, if you know what I mean.
Because they've shown like set photos of Tenet in like a purplish outfit. Nothing too ridiculous, but kind of purplish outfit.
Mm.
Now, of course, they could add a purple hue to his skin in post, but I'm hoping that – I don't know if you could do that without it just being odd.
Well, they seem to have done a lot of stuff. Like Leland Elsley in the Daredevil Netflix series like just isn't really Leland Elsley, owl.
Well, that could be because his son is going to be – more like the comic version of the owl.
That was my answer to that.
Hey,
the Avengers boy band Avengers.
Just telling you what I read about, you know, little Easter eggs and shit.
Seduce women everywhere. On that day, the Avengers boy band was born.
What the fuck? I don't even know how to react to that.
No. No! Stop that. John, stop it.
What?
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 I said what?
That's what friends are for.
No. 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 We can't mute John, can we?
Nope.
God damn it.
He controls the horizontal and the vertical.
Fuck. We only control the spherical, and by that I mean
whatever,
balls.
Whatever he's doing. Since we talked about how shitty the Fantastic Four and Batman versus Superman trailers to talk. Let's talk Star Wars.
Okay.
There's that still little reservation because I remember how I felt when I saw episode one trailer and I thought, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And then I actually saw the movie and oh shit. So I want it to be good. I really do, but I'm scared to fully commit.
Here's the thing though. Nothing in any of the prequel trailers filled me with as much childlike wonder as BB-8. And if that one little shitty little robot can amuse and awe me as much as it does, because the magic
totally practical
makes that thing run. It's only magic. It's not real technology. It's magic that makes that thing run.
It's real. It's not like computer shit.
Hmm.
Yeah, they actually had him on stage next to R2-D2, and he was rolling around and doing stuff.
I know.
Well, I know. I'm just saying that's just like, you know, they actually theorized on what his schematics would be, because how they keep the head from rolling off and shit like that.
As you've experienced that, Scott, don't you?
So, Widge, what are your impressions of the Star Wars trailer?
I thought it was just like the teaser. I'm echoing a bit, aren't I? I was. That was weird.
Because you're super important.
Oh, God, if only. I am replaceable by a wheel of cheese. Time for timer. So I thought it was like the teaser, very well executed, in that what J.J. Abrams is doing is basically sending out, and again, Scott, I hope it's accurate, but he's sending out the message, it's okay, I got this. Especially when, I mean, I'm like, that whole Millennium Falcon dive thing, the vision of the X-Wings going across the water, majestic, right? And then...
And the fucking Star Destroyer in the desert.
Yeah, the new trailer opens with a Star Destroyer crashed in the middle of a desert. I'm like, okay, I'm already in just based on that fucking picture. But the whole Chewbacca Han Solo thing at the end, you can't tell me that geeks weren't weeping for joy when that happened. And can I point out that I think my prediction about episodes 7 through 9, I was only off by a couple of years. Because I said, nope, 7 through 9 is going to happen. I was wrong in that Lucas isn't doing them, thank fuck. But I think I was off by about 2 years.
What I liked is that the first trailer had almost nothing from the original trilogy in it. And this new one was chock full of like, hey kids, remember your childhood? So it was kind of, it's fun how they're doing these trailers in almost a very tactical way, in kind of like, hey, remember, hey, this is a new story, none of that bullshit from the prequels, we've got this like new characters, it's gonna be fine. And then it's just like, hey, but you know what else is here? Someone, I can't remember who it was, I think it might have been Ben Ackerman on Twitter, said that John Boyega in those two trailers alone has much more going on than the prequels in its entirety. He is like, he is just something incredibly drawing from what he's doing. I want to see more of this guy already, and I've seen him like for like 30 seconds.
Now, have you seen Attack the Block?
Oh, God, yes. I own it on DVD.
Oh, yeah. So back from that, I was like, somebody better catch this guy, and, like, he needs to be a star. And I'm like, I'm so glad. I mean, at first, he wasn't doing that much, and then he signed on to, like, the Jesse Owens biopic. And I was like, oh, okay. So, he was fantastic in Attack the Block, and I'm so happy that, you know, and again, I hope it's not like the prequels where, you know, everybody signed on not knowing what the fuck they were signing on to, and then 3 movies later we're just worn out with the crap. I mean, the very fact that McGregor stopped doing the accent after episode 1, which is so sad because it was so good, and then it was like, I'm not even going to bother. Why bother? These are shit.
One of the things, I can't remember where the post was, but they mentioned where Luke is going through like the family tree, but they noticed that he said, you know, my father, you know, the force is strong in my family. My father has it.
Right.
It's not. Yep. Right, but that suggests that he's...
But that's not Luke talking.
What?
That's not Luke talking. Is it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's Mark Hamill.
I think it is.
Well, yeah, because it's him. He says, my father has it, I have it, my sister has it, and now you have it. So that suggests either his niece or nephew or his own kid. But when he says, my father has it, it's like, what does that mean? Is he like a force ghost still talking to Luke or what?
I'm almost convinced he... I'm not addressing your point. I'm going to address a different point that you brought up. I'm almost convinced that the person he's talking to is his niece. I'm gonna put myself out on the line and say I'm almost certain that that's what it is. Based on no real facts other than looking at the trailers and judging that, I think that girl is going to be the new Jedi. I think John Boyega is going to be her R2-D2. And I think her uncle, Luke, is going to be the one training her. That's my judgment.
But, you know, it's also, I wanted to, you know, I almost imagine like the 501st when they saw the new Stormtrooper armor. I wonder if they were really excited because they get new Stormtrooper armor, or they're freaking out because their old Stormtrooper armor just got obsolete.
Oh, it's not obsolete. Those movies still exist.
True.
And you'll get to buy them 504.
Sorry, Scott's talking through his tin can. One second. What is it, John?
He disappeared. What I want to see is that basically you have, I think Darth Vader / Anakin should be a Force ghost, and when he appears, it should be Hayden Christensen and Sebastian Shaw fighting over which of them is the actual Anakin ghost.
Did you say Sebastian Shaw?
That's the guy who played Anakin.
Kevin Bacon?
No!
It's like X-Men? What?
The actor! He played Anakin when Anakin was unmasked.
Oh.
And he was replaced.
Now that is nerdy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we both nerded up on that.
Yeah, we leveled up. The final nerd boss is... So... But...
So I really want it to be good, and it looks really good. But if it isn't, I'm going to burn the theater down.
Well, I think at this point, I think we're all expecting a shitty movie, and just will be surprised if it's nice and good and be happy about it. But I think everybody's going into this very tentative.
Oh yeah.
We've learned our lessons.
We have. I mean, it was a different world before Phantom Menace. You know.
Yeah. We still had hope.
We collectively lost our innocence. At a midnight showing of Phantom Menace, where the world just sort of spiraled out of control, and we were left.
Is that the first big letdown in the geek movie universe? Is that the first one that made really everybody sad?
At that level, yes.
At that level, yeah. I mean, because don't get me wrong, that you have shit like Superman 3, and you have stuff like, you know, Batman and Robin, but.
But by that point, we had a couple of movies that people liked.
But here's the thing. Episode 1, you went in expecting the same feeling that you got from the original trilogy that you had kept sort of alive that whole time. And there was no cautionary anything. I mean, like, you know, those other films, you could go, wait a minute. I love Richard Pryor, but he's in a Superman film? Or, wait a minute, why does the Batsuit have nipples on it? There were warning signs. Yeah. With Episode 1, we all went into it blind.
We had no clue. Like I said, the trailer for Episode 1 was amazing. It got everybody hyped up.
And, can I just say, I think I speak for everybody, when the logo came up and the John Williams score kicked in, everybody probably almost pissed themselves with, oh my God, it's happening, type of thing. And to go from that, and to go from that to, are you sure? Scott, were you in the right theater? Were you wearing a raincoat? Anyway, so to go from that to an hour later going, why are we talking about trade agreements? I mean, it's a hell of a fall.
Why do the aliens sound like Japanese people?
It's a long way to fall. So,
I thought Jar Jar sounded like a slave. I thought that was a Yesa Masa.
Yeah, but
no, the main bad alien sounded like Japanese, and I'm like, whoa, that's racist.
Well, but see, here's the thing too about the Step and Fetch It character, is that I totally see that parallel, but the difference is that the Step and Fetch It character, generally, that sort of character was the smartest person in the room, because if that. You know, oh, well, he's lazy because he actually screws up. It's like the whole thing about, well, you know, your dad would mess something up so that he could get out of doing it. That's how smart he was. And you have to go – my favorite example of that was Manton Moreland. If you go back and watch the movie King of the Zombies, he plays that sort of character, which on the surface looks like your stereotypical, you know, dumb black character. But he is the smartest fucking person in that movie. He's the one always going, okay, and not – this doesn't actually happen, but he's in essence going, why are we going into the old dark house? Are you sure we want to do this? I think I'll go wait over there like a sane person would. He is the smartest person in that fucking movie, and he has the best lines in the movie. So the difference is I could see where that parallel was drawn, but the difference is Jar Jar was just annoying as fuck, whereas the Manton Morelands of the world were geniuses. So I urge everybody, watch King of the Zombies. It's not a very good movie, but Manton Moreland, oh my God, he is hilarious in it. I think we actually posted it for 32 Days of Halloween, so you can find it on the site. But
so it's just been crazy for trailers this like past like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we got the new Ant-Man trailer as well.
Yeah. Which, it's not convincing me yet. I'm still a little bit worried about that film.
Well, let me ask you this question. I know you probably can't hear me and you don't want to hear me, but
this is the clearest you've been so far. It's beautiful. Sorry, he's gone now.
No,
has he turned into one of the parents from Peanuts? What's happening?
Let me ask you this, though. Were you convinced with the first trailer of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
I thought it looked like a lot of fun.
Okay.
I didn't know how the public would take to it, but I thought it looked good.
Well, I think Ant-Man could be good, partly because of, you know, if you can make a talking tree and a raccoon work, then you probably have an edge on anything. And I think more than anything, I'm curious as to how it fits in with everything else, you know? Mm. Now, they've done a really good job of fitting everything else in thus far, from everything from, you know, Daredevil to Agent Carter. It's all happening in the same universe, and you can tell if you pay attention. But I also like the fact that it is self-aware of how dumb it sounds. I think that's probably the smartest thing in the trailers, is Paul Rudd's references to, yeah, the name, what the fuck. So, because, I mean, you would. This isn't back when, you know, when Ant-Man was created, basically you could create a character by putting something and then man after it. And then you could create that thing, same thing plus woman, and then if it warranted it, that same thing plus boy or girl. And then if you wanted them to be in the Legion of Superheroes, lad or lass. So, but I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt because I think if it was really not going to work, I think they'd pull it. You know what I mean? Because I think at this point, they are playing it so smart and making everything fit together so well that I just can't see them making that dumb a decision. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree. I think it's going to be good. I don't think it's going to be at the level of, like, Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it'll be probably at the level of, like, the Thor movies or, like, Iron Man 2, which is good, but not, like, oh my god, I have to see this like 12 times again.
Well, yeah, I think again, having rewatched Iron Man 2, its biggest crime is that it's not Iron Man 1. You know,
I'm just saying in general. There are Marvel movies that are good, but they're not. They don't take that next level.
Thor has outdone a lot of them in the box office.
It won't suck, but it won't be like Winter Soldier or Guardians of the Galaxy that just blow your mind.
Yeah, I have to say, of all of the films, I enjoyed Dark World better than I liked the original Thor. And of the Iron Man trilogy, I like Iron Man 2 the least. But again, I mean, it's just because I'm comparing it to the other two films, and I'm comparing it to Iron Man, which, I mean, what glee that brought, you know, to see that done well.
Well, I personally hope that we continue to have this cautious skepticism for Marvel films, and they keep beating the expectation. Because the worst thing to do is to go in with, you know, expecting the best thing in the world, and it'd be just okay. You know what I mean?
So you're saying the Cars 2 effect, basically?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It is true, though. I think, you know, but at the same time, I think it's gotten to the point now where I think people are just expecting these movies to be great. Avengers Age of Ultron is out. I'm going on in 2 days. And I don't know anybody who doesn't think this is going to be the best thing ever. And I wonder if, because everybody's on that crazy bandwagon now, if that's going to kind of mess things up a little bit.
So Aaron, I think I'd just like to say on behalf of everyone in the U.S., as to you seeing it in 2 days, fuck you.
Yep. But I'm perfectly okay with that. I actually had a chance to see it last Friday at a press screening. I got an offer to go see it, but it was at the person who was going to be my ticket in, when they found out it was an IMAX 3D screening, they couldn't go because it gives them migraines. And so it was almost worse knowing that I could have gone. I will say I couldn't go without her. Literally, I would not be able to get into the building without her. I was
saying migraines, and what's the problem?
No. I'm just thinking, Rob, are you okay? Rob, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you moving stuff around?
I was. No, I'm not.
Okay. Just checking. I wanted to make sure. It had the same sound as when Dindrain is on the call and books fall on her. That's why I was just asking.
Yeah.
But I would have just had her just walk me in, excuse yourself to go to the bathroom, go home, I'll hitch a ride home.
No, I was able to wait. I'm actually going to go see it twice because I accidentally booked tickets on another day as well. So I'm going to see it on Thursday night evening, and then I'm seeing it on Friday during the day as well. So, yeah, and Rob's seeing it tomorrow. Huzzah.
Yeah.
We're all smug.
Well, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to see it opening day just because Cosette's working, so I may have to see it the next day.
Oh.
Well, you could go see it, not tell her, and then pretend like you're seeing it for the first time with her.
That's funny. What? You've already posted a Way Homer about it. What? Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so it doesn't work.
Do it without her. Who do you think is going to be the cameraman?
Yeah, just do the Way Homer with her, and then make sure you don't accidentally say, and on seeing it the second time, it's much better.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
Because basically, I booked tickets to see it on a Friday evening, found out my girlfriend couldn't go, so I booked tickets to see it on a Thursday evening, which was even better, but I just didn't cancel the tickets for Friday. I was like, fuck it, I'll see it again. And I have a spare seat next to me for my coat and popcorn.
So, Well, yeah, so that's happening, and is everybody caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Except for tonight, yes.
Yeah, same here.
Well, yeah, tonight, yeah.
I am automatically a couple episodes behind because they showed them a couple episodes behind over here.
So what was the last thing you saw?
Hunter had been shown the new S.H.I.E.L.D., and he got offered to work with them. And he was like, fuck all y'all, and he jumped out into the middle of the ocean.
Right, okay.
And how many episodes behind is that?
Two, I think.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Two or three.
That's about right.
Yeah.
More like three, I think.
Yeah. Well, you saw the news that Rob posted to Facebook about Hunter and Bobby basically reportedly going to star in the spinoff. No, which has the working title of Fear the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So it's probably like an X-Force, X-Men sort of thing.
I have no idea. There's no telling. Yeah, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. Force. S.H.I.E.L.D. Factor, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, Fox won't sue over that.
Well, that as long as you don't have any of the X-Men characters in it, and it's not like, I mean, for fuck's sake, what was it? Marvel did Mutant X?
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah, well, we've come a long way. Now, all you have to do is go back and watch Trial of the Incredible Hulk, and you'll see how far we've come, because Daredevil's in that, so is Thor. So.
Here's the sad thing. When I was a kid, I thought that was fucking amazing.
Of course you did! And can I just say, the original Incredible Hulk series was awesome. It's still awesome.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So, I'm curious. Hang on. Marvel Wiki. What is the Earth number for the Incredible Hulk television series?
What's the what?
It's a rock!
Hello!
Hulk.
I'm having to deal with my own Game of Thrones situation here at Spaz House.
So who's going to get beheaded?
I don't know. Okay, here's the deal. In my neighborhood, there's the mockingbirds that live here. And they're the Baelishes. Okay, they've been here for a while. And then there's the Baratheon Blue Jays, which are always at war with the Baelishes. Well, the Lannisters just moved in, which are two crows. And every freaking day there are aerial battles, I'm not kidding, above my house. It is pretty freaking awesome.
Now, the crows are supposed to be guarding the wall.
Yeah, well, but the thing is they're kind of dickish, so I named them Lannisters opposed to, you know, well, the wall.
How many eyes do they have?
One on each side. They're not creepy.
Okay.
Are they both sister and are they fucking?
For the record, the Incredible Hulk Earth is Earth 400005.
Oh. So play those numbers for lottery. We get half.
But yeah, so no. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the crows moved in. They moved in. Normally they're just scattered. So they moved into the neighborhood. They moved in because they're waiting for little mockingbird babies so they can eat them. That's what happens.
Mockingbird babies. They make your dreams come true.
Yeah, anyway. Man, they fight. They fight all the time. It's amazing.
Maybe they're, like, trying to fuck. Maybe that's the thing, because it's springtime.
Oh, no.
Interdimensional species bird sex. Oh, yeah.
No, they fight. Oh, my God, one will fly, and then all of a sudden the mockingbird will, like, dive bomb the crow, and he'd, like, almost fall. It's awesome.
Ladies.
But the funny thing is just so you know, Blue Jays do not, they are always at war with the Baelishes, the Mockingbirds. So all of a sudden this Blue Jay Baratheons are now fighting alongside These mockingbirds. It is pretty freaking amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's like Game of Thrones over here. Wanting the iron throne that is my neighbor's bird feeder. That's what it is.
If you could identify with any cast or any character in that show, who would you think is most similar to you?
Oh, wow. Okay, it would be Diana Riggs' character, the Tully woman, right? Was she a Tully? What was she?
She's a Tyrell.
Tyrell, yes. So yes, it would be her.
That's a good choice.
Yes, but isn't your answer always automatically Diana Rigg?
It is. Like, either that or Tilda Swinton.
It's like Alan Davies and the Blue Whale on QI.
Yeah.
I like how Tuffy's got a fishbone billboard in the background.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait,
it's like
what?
Free advertising.
Wait a minute. Why is it, Dwidge, you're so backward on all of the tech? I mean, we all have video. Scott, sometimes we're stuck with.
In a weird way, Widge is a little bit like technophobic, even though he's worked with it all his life. I think probably because he's worked with it all his life, he now hates it. So it's like a really annoying family member who he.
I thought.
Really
Rox, I thought you were going to say, "And Scott sometimes wears pants."
I don't know if he does.
I almost lost energy drink for that. Oh.
Hey, it is fishbone. Awesome.
Great. Yeah, it was. I inherited a MacBook, so I had to decorate.
You inherited it?
Well, yeah. Apple Day happened, and Kim got a Pro. So.
All right. Lucky you.
Kim got a Pro, so you know.
I'm hoping to inherit an iPhone. So I might actually join the 21st century and have a smartphone for once.
No, don't. Have a burner phone like I do.
Burner. That's what I got at the moment.
I will still always have a burner phone, yes.
So I just want to let everybody know, in case you're wondering, the 1960s animated series took place on Earth 600026. If you're keeping track at home.
Is this our
All right, play those numbers, and we get half. Yes.
For those joining us late in the podcast, Widge is on a weird obsession trip this evening where he's trying to find out the universe number in Marvel's dictionary for each single incarnation of Marvel anything. So we found out the
I could not
Marvel
believe
number
that,
for the electric – was it electric? Was
yeah, the electric company Spidey Super Stories. I could not believe that they actually had a universe number for it. And since then, I've sort of lost my fucking mind. Even more than usual.
Did you start reading Spider-Verse?
No.
Although he did ask that question about, are those people from Spider-Verse actually in the 616? Or what's happening?
No, that's part of the whole the Marvel Universe going kablooey thing is. It's all unstable, so that's why they all show up.
Well, it's been unstable. Again, you're not saying anything that does not really reflect Marvel. I mean, nothing's changed since I left, basically.
Well, Marvel editorial has always been unstable, but let's be honest.
Hey, Rob, are you stapling zines?
Now, no.
Okay. Just checking.
Why?
It just sounds like you're doing arts and crafts.
No.
And I know he's not here.
Well, no, I get CDs. And I put them somewhere where I think they're out of the way and they won't bother Janet. And then I move and I forget that they're there and then they fall. And yeah.
So you've approached the shelf space quandary with just move it where she's not.
Oh, that was years ago.
why, John, why are you pointing Titanic DVDs at us? Why is that happening?
Why?
Well, his heart will go on.
Stop!
Will you stay forever this way, John?
No, we can't do that. John Oliver already did that joke.
We're flying! Anyway,
Including the other Titanic with Catherine Zeta-Jones in it.
So the Earth number for the Japanese live-action Spider-Man television series is 51778.
Oh, okay, Widge, here you go. Give me a couple.
That's cheating. That's a zip code from Pittsburgh.
Okay, give me a couple of episode numbers of The Electric Company where Spidey was in it.
Yes.
Das for the win.
All of them?
We already know. We already know what world that is.
The Electric Company.
Now wait a minute. Did in the Spider-Verse thing? Did the Electric Company Spider-Man show up?
I don't know. Easy Reader should.
I don't know, but the movie Spider-Men were.
Oh my God! We should totally. Secret Wars should have Easy Reader in it. Easy Reader is actually the Beyonder. Make it happen.
No, Morgan Freeman.
Well, as I said,
Didn't Morgan Freeman actually, as Easy Reader, actually narrate the Spidey Super Stories in The Electric Company?
Yes,
he did.
He did.
No, what I was saying was in the the Spidey Super Stories, they had Easy Reader in some of those characters.
Yeah, that was a Marvel title for a while.
Technically, I mean, you may have to squint a little, but technically they're in the Marvel Universe.
Wait. Morgan Freeman is the Spidey Super Stories universe version of Uatu the Watcher.
Yes.
That's how we get Morgan Freeman in S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's not a geek joke at all.
No. None at all.
No. So where is it? Spidey. For the Super Stories.
Now, what about the Nicholas Hammond series?
Wait, what about the what?
The Spider-Man Nicholas Hammond series.
Oh, the 77, 78 one?
Yeah.
The one that ran for like a season on CBS?
Yeah, the one where he climbs between the World Trade Center towers all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That is Earth 730911.
That's also Columbia House.
Wait, what the fuck? Wait a minute. Hang on.
Okay, Widge, I got you here.
No. Hang on. This doesn't make any sense. What is this? Okay, surely someone is joking. Someone in the Marvel Universe wiki has added, they don't have a page for them, but among the live-action series, they've added Manimal and Automan. Those aren't Marvel characters.
Do they have adaptations? Do they have comic book adaptations from Marvel?
Oh, ooh. God. I have no idea.
Because Manimal was around long enough to have a comic book adaptation because it was around for like a season or so. A season and a half, I think.
Wow.
God, I remember Automan.
Automan, I don't think so. I think Automan died very quickly, but I know Manimal was what? Manimal went at least a season and a half, right?
Manimal. I've never seen that show.
Manimal went like 2 years or something.
Now, Widge?
When are they rebooting that shit?
You've just caused that into being, Scott.
Well, hopefully it's better than Fuller House.
Wait a minute. Automan, that's going to be Jeremy Clarkson's new project.
You know, they're actually bringing that back. I'm not joking.
What, Automan?
No,
Jeremy
Full
Clarkson.
House.
Oh, Full House. No, that's not a joke. That's a threat against mankind.
Yeah, Netflix is in charge of that shit.
Hey, Netflix. Why Netflix?
It's content. They are under the mistaken impression that all content is good content.
Well, that is technically how we ended up with Daredevil, so I guess we can't complain that much, can we?
Oh, yeah. No. I'm saying there's good content, but they think they just need content. Somebody needs to explain, no, Fuller House, no.
Maybe they should just be content.
Don't laugh. That'll just encourage him.
No, that is exactly what I'm trying to do. Trying to encourage him.
Yeah, to do better.
To do well.
Yes.
I'm the more hopeful version of me tonight, so.
So you got the S on your chest, have you?
No,
they win one hockey game, and you're all blood.
No, they didn't. They didn't win one.
Did they lost last night?
No, they lost. They lost in OT.
Oh, they were winning last I heard. I'm sorry.
I know, they were winning. And that was just painful. That was just painful. But it's okay. Yeah. It's okay because I'm happy that they got in the playoffs. And not only that, I'm happy they got in the playoffs, and I'm happy that they eliminated LA in the process.
Now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is it possible? I would be fine with Fuller House if it was actually based on Buckminster Fuller. Because that, I think, would make a great...
Unfortunately,
experience.
No.
And, Toughly, to answer your question, apparently there was a Manimal Annual in 1984 published by Edgemont Publishing.
Okay.
And then there was a one-shot by Renegade Press in 1986, which had an Ernie Colon cover, of all things.
Oh, nice.
And it was done by Renegade Press, who brought you the same people who brought you Maxwell Mouse Follies, Mysteries, and Roscoe the Dog Ace Detective. So.
Well, that's a lineup. That's a universal crossover that I want to see.
That they're going to be the defenders.
Yeah.
Ouch.
No, no, no. You know what? Auto Man and Turbo Team should hook up.
God. I actually had something I wanted to pitch to Cartoon Network back when they had control of all the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type thing with the Hanna-Barbera universe. But alas, it was not to be.
Basically, like Credible Heroes and Muttley? Is that what you were thinking?
No, no. It was like it was basically a take on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. You had they're all grown up. You had like Haji was basically the leader. You had Penelope Pitstop.
Hey.
You had Fang Face. Oh God, who else was in it? And
gotta have Motley.
No, no, those type of things made appearances. So
no, he was the M of the group.
And all he would do is laugh.
Can you shoe phone and laugh? Just laugh and laugh and laugh.
I'd have to find the proposal.
Well, who has
hey, John.
Brandon Rivera now?
It would have been fun. Yes. Probably.
John.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
How about that Tebow?
What?
How about that Tebow, man? How about that Tim Tebow, John?
Wow.
Oh, screw that guy.
You know, I'm a Seminole fan, right?
You know, he's
I figured that out.
And the SEC network didn't count as an actual job, so you know.
Well, the reality is that Philadelphia has no quarterbacks right now, so why not him?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably an upgrade from the guy that they used to have who like organized dog fights. So they're probably thinking, Michael, we're not going to get that problem with Jesus the Christ.
Did you say Jesus the Christ?
Wait a minute. Who's making Jesus fight? Is someone doing Jesus fighting? Because that's illegal.
I think Trey Parker and Matt Stone did that. Remember?
You see,
John. Yes, sir.
John, you have to understand the whole purpose of Tim Tebow in Philly is that he can contact Jesus to heal Sam Bradford's knees.
Wait a minute. He actually got a job?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be the
starting proves my point. The SEC network does not count.
Wait a minute. Jesus has a job. He's Jesus. You guys aren't making any sense.
Tim Tebow.
Jesus is playing fifth string on the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's quarterback.
No, that can't be right. They're going to change the name of the Duffs.
Yeah. And then they can cry.
Oh, they could call themselves the Baelishes.
No.
I have no idea what's going on.
Neither do I. Welcome to Weekend Justice.
Welcome to Need Coffee Presents Sports Balls.
Well, that's what this podcast is really all about.
Oh, exactly. Which? By the way, John, beat Detroit.
Yeah.
I just saw that we lost tonight 3-0. I know.
Wait.
Scott, 1 second. Rob, I've seen the documentary from Vice. Detroit's pretty well beaten. Why do you want to kick an entire city while they're down?
Because the Red Wings are amazingly annoying, and whenever St. Louis plays them, it's officially punch a Red Wing fan in the face day. It's a thing.
Are you Wilson Fisk's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
With a little Chuck Yeager.
Rob, you realize of all the teams that are probably going to advance, right? All the teams.
Yeah, I know, but
okay.
I would rather Tampa Bay beat them than.
Oh, I would love to see Tampa Bay beat them. I would love to see Tampa Bay beat them and somehow get to play New York, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely, but it's not going to happen.
Wait a minute. Why do you say that? Why do you say that Tampa doesn't have a chance?
I didn't say Tampa doesn't have a chance. I just said they're not going to have a chance to play New York. So.
Oh, well, okay, that might be true.
That's not very nice.
Wedge.
What?
John, I still believe.
But if you watch.
What are they talking about?
I don't know. Last I heard, Jesus was fighting Detroit. I don't know.
Scott, see, that I can understand. Man with sticks. Can't you get into that? Come on.
No, it's not in the contract.
There's a contract?
Yeah, Aaron, puck is the thing that his phone autocorrects for.
True. Oh, and Widge?
Yeah.
Because he's used to having pads on his knees.
Ruins comic. Oh!
Hello!
Oh, I missed that, didn't I?
Sorry, Scott. Yeah. Say your thing again. You got overshouted.
No. It's fine.
I love you.
Oh, that's good. At least somebody does.
Fuck all
y'all.
Jesus.
Damn. Scott,
you know what?
I
that's cooler than anything I've ever said about him.
It's all about the love.
And on that note, we should probably go to Rock Lobster.
John is so off his game.
That is just like Fred Schneider, too.
It's like watching the Who tour now. It's just like sad.
Rock Lobster.
That's so funny.
It's like a really terrible dubstep remix, and you're waiting for the drop.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, I almost bought tickets to see the Who because Joan Jett's opening for them.
Oh my
see,
god!
I'm still thinking of going because I've never seen.
Really?
It. Yeah.
Because the only reason I was going to go was because A, the tickets were going to be there was a Groupon on the tickets, and that Joan Jett was opening for them. So.
Yeah.
Did you say there was a Groupon?
Yeah, there was a Groupon on the Who tickets.
Doesn't that mean the world just implodes?
Yes.
It just means I don't have to pay $70 to go see the Who if I wanted to.
That's like crazy. That's like here's it's like them paying you to come see them play.
Hey, Tuffley, here's a question.
Huh?
A Groupon, is that what I use to get a discount from Sergio Aragonés?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And you can go see the Who.
Hey.
And a Groupon allows you to get an extra cupcake at Cammy Cakes. Just saying.
This is where you'd insert the more you know graphic.
I know. Wow.
Those damn things, so you know. Wow.
Actually, ignorance is bliss. The less you know.
And wow. I have to say
good,
this.
Good cue there. 2 minutes later, John. Good work.
Gosh, Scott's got an announcement. What? Scott, what?
We're honest when I did last Saturday night.
Earth calling Scott. Come in, Scott.
Wait, who did you do last Saturday night? Not Jesus, I hope.
No comment.
He does like wooden big nails.
So here's an important question, Scott. Was Jesus just all right with you?
Oh, sweetie, he was more than all right. He was calling us.
God was one of us.
All right.
Who paid for dinner?
Well, considering it was a happy meal, probably Scott.
Oh, no.
Well, they didn't involve fish.
Listen, lots of people have offered to nom on Scott's happy meal, so, you know, guys.
Why is it always cock with you?
I thought that was ruled a choking hazard, and they couldn't include it in the box anymore.
Don't pretend we all haven't thought about nibbling his nuggets.
I've slept with Scott, no.
Oh,
no,
yeah!
No. No, wait, do you know what Scott's nuggets are made of?
Well, it's not chicken, I'll tell you that much.
That's good shit. I tell you what, that was the porn version of Super Size Me.
Woo! Now that you'll choke on.
Surprisingly, no milkshake jokes. Good job, everybody.
No milkshake jokes, no grimace jokes.
Nope. I was thinking KO Pectate, but I couldn't
Russia. Wow.
Or Hamburglar.
No.
Or Grimace. Grimace always.
Scott. Yeah, okay, Grimace. Scott, since there's no real females in the McDonald world, who would you date?
Wait. Early Bird.
That is true.
Which, really? Come on, this was my question. Shut up.
Sorry.
Well, I feel like you two.
Well, technically, she was in the Ultimate McDonald Land.
Yes, she was later. She was later.
McDonald Land is Earth 577112.
All right, Scott.
I feel like Grimace is there.
Scott, who would?
Well, Ronald McDonald's. Have you seen the size of his shoes?
Oh my God, Grimace is the purple man.
But I mean, in fairness, so he wears so much makeup, Scott. He's a bit of a queen.
Actually, Grimace is just the overweight brother of Dr. Manhattan.
No, just think, Scott. You could wake up and nibble on Mayor McCheese's big head.
Or
if you like a little bit of bondage, the Hamburglar has masks.
Would Mayor McCheese have the special sauce?
Is Captain Cook like the older Ian McKellen sort of figure in Donald Land?
Who?
You know what? No, here's my thing. And Roxanne and Scott can both feel free to answer this question. And anybody else if they choose to. Captain Birdseye, hot, right?
Yeah.
You don't know Captain Birdseye?
Oh.
Wait, you guys had Captain Birdseye. We just had a bird.
Yeah.
Okay, Captain Birdseye. He was like.
Now the Jolly Green Giant, on the other hand.
Lives in the Hulk universe.
No, I'm not a size queen, you know. No.
Wait, are we gonna go for food spokespeople of the 50s and 60s? Would Scott like that?
I liked it a lot better when Mark Ruffalo played the Jolly Green Giant.
Oh my God! No, we did not have that man at all.
So let's start appropriately with the thing from Quisp. Scott, would you get that?
He probably already has. He's moved on to snorks.
Okay, no, we didn't have this strange pedophile-looking captain at all.
No,
we didn't have him.
Peter Pan, Scott. Peter Pan, would you hit that?
A little too young.
Are you sure?
Right? He does live in Never Never Land.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little now.
Wow, scares me. Captain Birdseye terrifies me.
That is
really frightening.
Dirty.
That you know what that is? That's like from the live action Pete's Dragon movie.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh God.
No. I just yes. No.
I will boycott Helen Reddy forever.
That's probably a good idea. Yeah. Assemble this, your captain speaking.
Smashing records. That is not Helen Reddy.
Is that a Captain Birdseye rap? Well, let's wait 6 hours for John to come back. Sorry, hold on.
Wait, John is trapped in time now. It used to only work for Scott and Lee, but now apparently John's become infected with a time virus.
By the way, was Lee on earlier because somebody's having a birthday?
What?
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 Lee? Who cares about Lee?
Lee's birthday? Is she 69 already?
Oh! Hello!
Wow.
I showed her number.
So, guess who's not going to film the documentary they intended?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that wasn't happening for a number of reasons.
What?
Well, I mean, that documentary ain't happening. Like, at this point, we're 7 days away. We're not making $22,000 in 7 days.
Well, you're going to be in the documentary, but it's not the one you're intending.
Yeah. Get working.
What? I have no money.
Did you say working or twerking?
Start earning. Like jungle, you're busy. Like jungle, you're busy earning.
I was afraid you were going to start saying start working the phones, and in which case, I mean, we just take his calls. But, you know, I don't know about anybody else. I mean, honestly.
Honestly, what?
And when Aaron works the phones, he gets drunk and calls my wife.
Oh, yeah.
So highlight and sexy. Both of our days.
Oh, and whatever you do, don't let Scott White do the calling, because he calls me up drunk and stuff, so.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Good I get this. Yes, I know. Yeah.
We've been here
if
for
anybody's
hours,
watching,
you want to do introductions
podcast,
now?
Please go to the Need Coffee video feed to watch Rox's face as she said that, because it was majestic.
Yeah, the Google the G plus replay.
G plus replay forever. Yeah. Anyway, so. Hey, okay, since you guys are all guys and not Scott, really, but okay.
Oh, wow.
When, it's when strong I, enough for guys, but made for Scott, too.
Well, okay.
Wow. Well, I
all right.
This.
So
I'm
I've
just
got,
kidding, that's all.
So I've got two male neighbors who have both been asking me to dole out good guy points to them.
How does that work?
Well, okay, one of my neighbors came over.
And unless
and,
I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
And mowed my lawn.
Yeah, he did. All yeah. right.
He mowed the estate of Spaz House, you know. And my other...
That still sounds sexual, Rox.
You're not making it any better.
Hey, come over and yes. Use your lawnmower and cut the grass. And another
time
actually said, hey, I could come down and bring my edger trimmer and trim for good guy points.
Trim your bush.
I'm like the widow of the neighborhood for broken divorced men now. And I have to make this all worth my while, so if I can get them to come over and do housework, that'll be great. Oh gosh, I know that was all wrong everywhere.
I really do need 27 inches.
Yes.
That's like the prelude to Great Expectations. You know that, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
That is the entire setup for the
yes.
book.
Yes, it's Pip going up to Miss Havisham's house with a lawnmower.
Miss Havisham's got some lemonade.
God. I doled out beer. Okay, that's what I, that was my payment. Here's a bottle of beer.
They were sadly disappointed.
No, yeah. It was my brother-in-law's beer. There
I moved the Spaz House estate, and all I got was a can of Miller Lite.
Yes. Let's be honest, PBR.
No.
God, no.
Wow, Scott?
Scott, you don't even know what beer is.
True.
I trimmed Rox's bush, and all I got was this foamy liquid.
Don't get excited. It's just a schlitz.
Oh my god, this is awesome.
Oh, and you know what? I'm feeling so much better.
Well, there's something.
She's like checking the refrigerator. Oh, hey, I got a Zima. That's good for what?
I was kind of doing. Yeah. Yeah. All I want is good guy points. I'm like, okay, Doug, sure.
I got a Seagram's from 4 years ago. You want that?
Oh, I don't have Seagram's now.
Yeah, they're wine coolers. They're yummy.
Oh, my God, no. But, oh, my gosh, I still have a thing of Manischewitz, you know, wine.
Oh, wow.
And
really?
Still alive. Here's some Passover wine.
Why don't you put it into ice trays and use it for, like, popsicles?
Ooh, that's a thought. For those hot days, yes.
Yeah. And cool.
Oh, my.
Rox, you got any Bartles and James tucked away in there?
I'm not that old.
Thank you for your support.
Aren't they dead? They're dead,
one,
right?
One of them has to be. One is. One is.
Didn't the other one go on to, like, start ice cream or something?
No, ISIS.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's a completely different form of drink.
And the other guy is dating Wilford Brimley.
Oh, wow.
Because he looks like him.
Yeah, but doesn't Bartles and James have a lot of sugar? So, you know.
Yeah.
Wilford,
that's all right.
Might get the diabetes attack from one wine cooler. Yeah.
Doesn't that automatically summon Wilford Brimley?
Oh my god.
Or Lee.
Huh. We gotta try that out now.
Summoning Wilford Brimley?
I know, yes, we do. But you can't find Bartles and James wine cooler.
Actually.
What? You have one stashed away? Wait, what is that, Rob? Don't tease
There's
me.
There's two. I'll bring one down to Atlanta.
Okay.
Our neighbors are clearing out the storage unit.
Wow, and you got...
Is Wedge back?
No. Who?
He's got a hash thing.
All this old liquor talk. Wow, is old
liquor talk. Well, we drink bourbon here.
It's better than the Miss Froth and Slosh. That stuff was bad.
What?
There's this beer that came out in the 70s called Miss Froth and Slosh. It was horrible. It's like a German cross between German beer and Budweiser. Just
that sounds like the messiest, like, prostitute.
That sounds like a Saturday night.
That sounds like an excellent evening for Courtney Love.
Or Scott.
Well, Courtney, how'd your night go?
Oh my God, what are you drinking? Tuffling. What is that?
Kickstart.
What's it do? It's like 10 o'clock. You're going to stay up until 4 a.m.
No, I'm not.
Why?
No, this has no effect on me. I'm just...
Yeah.
As soon as I'm done with...
Kim takes her cricket bat and slams your head. She's like, you're going to bed! Yeah.
She stays up later than I do.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Let's play Let's Get Scott a Date at Dragon Con.
Oh my god, yes, so, we should do that. Yes. Yeah.
Get me a man.
Yeah, so Scott...
Wait, we need Eurythmics? I need a man, John.
All right, hold on.
If we bring it, because a lot of cosplayers at Dragon Con, Scott, so if you could request somebody to dress in a certain cosplay for you.
In a seductive manner.
As little as possible.
Do furries dress seductively?
That's all Dragon Con costume contest contestants.
I think
Scott,
being a furry is a seduction in itself, Rox.
No.
No what? No what?
No. Furries, no.
Has John Barman said no to Scott, though, Rob?
You know, why have we never thought of setting that up?
I don't know, Rob, because you should really set him up with me so he can say
no.
That'd be okay. I can grow
you know
at least.
I feel like I'd be more John Barman's type, though. I feel like he'd go for the younger Svelte man.
I don't know. He's... No.
Well, if you bring over that the Manischewitz that Rox has, you'll have a pretty big night.
Oh wow!
The daddy.
Or as they call it, Mississippi cologne.
Is it?
Scott, you're being really shit out of helping us to set you up.
I know, Scott. Come on, give us who do you want to sleep with? Superman.
Anthony Daniels.
Galacticus.
How about
Show us on the chart where the superhero.
One of those. You. One of those 300 guys.
Show us in the chat where you
stay
want
with me. I'll watch if you want. I'll take pictures for you.
Oh, this just got really weird.
Scott. Yes, Scott's. Is Scott going to be the new Mapplethorpe? And then Rox is just going to run over to the high and go, here, put these on the wall.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We could do that.
There I go. Okay, now. Hang him on the MARTA. Oh, my God. No, Rox, I need to take a picture of Scott and whoever, right? Rox, a picture of Scott and whoever, and with Danger Woman watching.
Please
and
then you run. It's not the strangest thing that's happened on MARTA.
Oh, no, it hasn't. No.
Mm-mm. Widge, bring some sanity to this.
What?
Wait, like, you're asking
what?
From Widge?
Widge?
What?
Let's see.
Widge, yes, I just walked off.
Wow, shows Widge. How bad this has gotten.
Scott, have you met me?
Scott, have you been listening to this show for however long we've done it?
Look, he's just the ringleader. He's just the ringleader of the damned. He just hides.
I don't know if I want to be involved in that.
We're just going to have the bedding ceremony from Game of Thrones where we're just going to pick you, a random person up at Dragon Con, send you to bed, strip both you down, and just wait outside so we can hear the moans.
Well, in that case, why don't we just put it on Etsy?
What we'll do is we'll have a panel early at the con, and we'll make it happen, and then we can have the person come back for the fun fest and talk about their experience.
And then we award points.
But in the spirit of journalism.
That point, is it called the bum fest?
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, wait, when we're done, do we see who the audience
is? Are you going to put me and this guy in this, like cube thing to wait on?
Yes, we are going
to. What's the name of that show? They actually have one.
Everybody shut the fuck up. Everybody shut the fuck up right now.
Wow.
We do game shows at Dragon Con. Maybe not as much as we used to, but we do them. Blind Date with Scott as the possible picker.
I'm the Bachelorette.
And then we need three. We want to have to find three people to be your possible blind date, but legitimately want to actually date you. And, let's make this happen.
I'll do it too. Hey, I'm single.
Yeah, but we don't want to subject you to Dragon Con. So, with fairness,
we'll give Scott to anywhere now.
Well, hey, Aaron, with fairness, is there enough people in the Pern track for Scott?
Did you just? Who the fuck do you think you are?
Well, he's not a Pern fan for one thing.
Well, Rob, I think just to say, I think
it was written by the woman who thinks you become gay by sticking a tent peg up your ass.
By sticking a tit up your ass? What?
Tent peg.
Well, that's
what tent peg. Taipei?
Well, think of it as your chance to change
the city of Taipei.
I know. What is it, Scott?
Wait, is that like Candor? Did somebody put Taipei in a bottle? If I could put Taipei in a bottle. So, Rob, I think Ringleader of the Damned is going to be my new title on my next business card.
Oh, good.
Oh, my
Thanks.
Gosh.
That's copywritten.
John, you, Widge, now that you're back. It's just been announced that Daredevil season 2 is out next year.
Really?
Yeah.
2016, season 2.
But wait a minute. They're bringing it out before all of the rest of the Defenders series are out?
I guess.
Holy shit, that's fantastic. Now where's my fucking second season of Agent Carter, bitches?
It's looking right now, from what I've been reading, it looks like about 80% possible that it's going to be renewed.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been shown over here yet, still. I cannot believe it.
Here's the thing, though, Widge. Have you seen where they're doing a spinoff for S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Okay. That's why I said the working title is called Fear the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's set in Los Angeles before
Holy
the Avengers.
Shit. So
oh,
that's,
Jesus.
So if that's coming out next year, they've got to be starting on that like now.
They're going to be, yeah.
Apparently, though, they're changing showrunners. Stephen DeKnight, who's the current showrunner, had quote unquote previous commitments, so couldn't obviously some other project this year that he couldn't film. So Doug Petrie and Marco Ramirez will jointly take on the showrunner role instead.
Well, yeah. But remember, they changed showrunners before tonight. Anyway, Drew Goddard was going to do it.
Yeah, before. Didn't he get a Star Wars movie?
Well, he left to do the Spider-Verse movies, which people are still talking about like they're happening, but I don't know that they're happening.
I don't think so. Unless he's directing the first MCU Spider-Man movie.
But my thing is, my question is, so, but with, they haven't announced when Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, or Iron Fist are airing, right?
They're filming them now. They're supposed to be...
Yeah, they're filming Jessica Jones and Luke Cage now because Tennant's involved in both of those.
Yeah. Okay. And he's doing cons on the weekends. So apparently the last we heard is that hits like sometime before Christmas.
I think Jessica Jones is in the fall and Luke Cage was scheduled to be spring, but I think they're probably going to move it for Daredevil season two. Because if they do it the same way they do House of Cards, then it'll be exactly the same time as it was this year.
Yeah.
Because House of Cards is the traditional House of Cards spot is February.
February,
usually,
yeah.
Usually around Valentine's Day.
For Batman, we should make an Avengers flowchart. It really would help.
Yeah, it's getting to that point.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing: they're taking the fall off. So,
wait, who is?
Marvel.
Well, if Jessica
there's no Jones... Marvel, yeah, there's no Marvel film out. Well, there's not a movie out.
But Jessica Jones could be coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because basically the Star Wars film took the fall Marvel spot.
Yeah, I do love how Age of Ultron has pretty much almost nothing opening against it, and the second weekend is pretty much empty. So everybody got the fuck out of their way.
Wait for me to undress.
As you would.
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Interesting he turned the camera off.
Kim, I...
Hello, Kim.
Kim, I watched the first episode of iZombie.
He's muted. He can't hear you.
I know,
anyway, but we thought we were here to squeeze through time.
So, yeah, what have I been watching? So I watched, let's see. I've seen the first three episodes of Powers. I'm still watching it. It's sort of a guilty pleasure watch.
How are you watching Powers?
With my powers.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I rented a PlayStation. That's what I did.
I really want to watch that show. I haven't been able to find a way of watching it yet, but Other Space?
What is that?
It's a like comedy set on a spaceship, and it has Trace and
Joel
Hodgson from the Mystery Science Theater guys. They're in it, but it's got a nice looking cast. And Paul Feig is the director showrunner.
That's Yahoo. That's the I think that's Yahoo, right?
I think so, yeah, it is Yahoo.
Because it's like the companion show for Community right now. It's like the show they're doing with Community right now.
Cool. But yeah, I kind of... Yahoo are starting to do some shows that look good. That's one of them.
Huh.
Yeah, we were talking about the Stephen King thing Hulu's doing.
What's that?
What's that?
That's the the Kennedy assassination thing.
Oh, 11/22/63.
Yeah, because James Franco's doing that.
Oh. Yeah, except Rocks, it's going to be five seasons long.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
I don't know. Look at the dome.
He'll end up under a dome. That's what'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back from the past, young man. There's a dome here.
Yeah. Indeed. I'm watching Mad Men. We're in the 70s now.
So you're like into Waitresses too now, right?
Yeah.
So. Dawn's falling apart.
Wait, that's been the tone of the series. Dawn's falling apart.
The final thing.
You know, here's the thing. People are going to be horribly disappointed. But he didn't fall from the building. That's not the point.
I know. But people will say that, you know.
Oh, yeah, it would be great if somebody fell off the roof. That would be great. Fell out of the building.
What, basically, that's a callback to Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah, it is. Roger's got a weird looking mustache. I don't think that mustache really belonged in the 70s. It's like too wide. It's
not, well, really, he's still kind of working.
Not really a porn stash.
He's working on his, he's trying to work on his elder. His elder.
It's a little early. It's a little early for that stash.
Yeah, it is. It's too early for that because a porn stash, right, you guys? Goes right just to the corner.
It's a little early for that stash, and working for his elder are all phrases Scott used on the weekend.
I mean, a porn stash goes right to the corners of your mouth, and Roger's goes beyond. It's
honestly, kinda... this is Slattery's thing. I mean, the other guy got cast for a preacher, so old Howard Stark's going to make a comeback.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what about that with...
Dominic Cooper.
Now, what's the... Everything I've seen says that there's... Tulip is going to be a vampire, but also Cassidy's going to be in it. I'm like, what?
I don't know.
Well, that was Rob's sigh, so let him sort of...
I'm okay.
Are you sure?
Since when?
Oh, a week ago.
Okay, good. So what the hell else? Yeah, that's okay. So that's my question, though, about Powers. I am not hearing jack shit about Powers. Is anyone watching Powers other than me?
No, but I will now that you've talked about it.
I think it's a problem with the network that it's on. I just don't think it's wildly watched enough.
I don't think people use the PlayStation to play games on. I don't really use it for anything else.
And if you do watch something on it, it's because you've got Netflix on it.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So what show is it on?
I've got Amazon on it. So what?
What show is it on? There's an article from IGN, so why exactly can't the rest of the world watch Powers?
It's on the PlayStation Network.
Oh, geez, wow.
And here's the catch. The catch is everybody can see the first episode for free because they stuck it on YouTube. But after that...
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. The first episode isn't that great. So yeah. They sort of fucked themselves.
Yeah, so after that, all of them... And you had to be a PlayStation Plus subscriber to get it. Oh. It wasn't just that you had to have a PlayStation. You had to be a PlayStation Plus subscriber.
So, Widge, how much does this rent for a PlayStation?
You know, I just...
How much did that set you back, sir?
Not much. I'm doing a barter trade.
Okay, just
I make some of my crazy, again, not using controlled substances, unless you count the amount of chocolate I use, brownies, and, you know, I'm paying in that.
See, I thought you were just loaning out your Xbox One.
Wow.
That we all know you have.
You know, I could actually go out to the street... And flag down one of my, you know, divorced wannabe suitors and say, I need a PlayStation. And I'll give you good guy points for it.
Don't run out your – don't – Rocks, right now, do not run outside of your house right now and yell, I need a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Do not. No.
The correct answer is bring me a PlayStation and the head of Brian Setzer. That's the correct answer.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, he just let the back of that house behind me just go. I'll tell you, I'm just pulling weeds and stuff.
A lot of people have been saying that about his back, but that's okay.
I know. Thorns. How do you sleep with all these thorns? Yes. Anyway. So, Powers, what is it about? What is the show? Is it like, is it almost like the Powers, what was that? Alphas?
We had this conversation last time.
I don't listen.
Is it a reality show about Powers Booth? Because I'd watch that.
That would actually be awesome.
How about John Wilkes Booth? Does he have a power? He should.
No. How about the photo booth? Does it have a power?
Yes.
No, if it's at the West Egg, it's always broken.
Yeah.
John Wilkes Booth had power.
Hiding in barns.
Well, not very well, because, you know.
Shirley Booth had power.
Yeah, that worked out.
Yes,
So anyway,
I'm invisible. No, you're not.
Rox, basically, in a nutshell, it's a world with people with superhuman abilities, and it's the effect it has on everyone else who doesn't have the abilities, but mostly the cops.
Oh, so they're hated and hunted and...
Well, not necessarily. They're like celebrities, but they're also dealing with the fact that when they go rogue, there's nobody really... You know, unless there's another superhuman to take them down, they just go apeshit and blow stuff up.
Oh, like so my neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's sort of like Law and Order. It's the Law and Order version of Top Ten.
Dun, dun. Oh, really? Wow, now that you painted it like that.
Okay, Law and Order MCU?
It's not that good.
Oh.
Well, the comic is really good.
The comic is excellent. And I'm basically watching it for Eddie Izzard at this point.
Who wrote it as the comic? Is that...
Bendis.
Bendis. I was going, okay. No wonder it sounds familiar.
Yep. No, it's a...
I don't read Bendis, but you know.
Well, Powers, especially the first collection, Who Killed Retro Girl, is excellent. And
the first couple of books I thought were really good.
Mm. Yeah, it was really good until somebody in the book who didn't have powers suddenly got powers. And I was like, okay, this is taking the same turn that Preacher did when, you know, Tulip went down a weird path and so did Cassidy. It's like, why are you doing this? This was great. But oh well. But
Galaxy Quest is coming to TV? What?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Netflix too. Is that karmic retribution for automatically putting Full House back?
Is that
the universal balance system that Netflix is using?
Is that who is doing that? Actually, I heard about that.
The original writer, Robert Gordon, will pen the script as well as executive produce the new show with Dean Parasot, who directed the original film, and Mark Johnson, who produced it. I guess no word on whether or not the cast is coming back or not.
Yeah, probably not.
I know, yeah. But that's kind of funny because everybody had talked about, what, maybe 6-7 months ago, everybody would be willing to do a sequel,
but
all
here,
of them, including Sigourney Weaver.
Here's what I would say, Aaron, and basically what you do is you do it as a reboot, as a parody of the Star Trek reboot, including having cameos from the original cast commenting on how the new show is getting shit wrong.
Oh, so like Galaxy Quest, The Next Generation?
Yeah, no, not even Next Generation. Just Galaxy Quest as directed by J.J. Abrams. And then have Alan Rickman for like the first season as what's-his-face Prime. And basically just do a straight up, here's Galaxy Quest redone for a new millennium. That's how I would play it.
Yeah, they should get Nick Frost for that.
Oh, Nick Frost in the Tim Allen role. Yes. So,
does the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes? So
it is.
Okay.
And I finished my drink. So, but yeah, is there anything coming out that's not a comic book movie between now and the end of the year?
Well,
I've stumped all of you.
Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Spectre.
Yeah, so, but it's
Man,
Jim...
Man from Uncle.
We know it's Jim Corrigan. We all know it's
Ooh,
Jim Corrigan.
Ooh, yeah, Man from Uncle.
That actually,
the trailer, that trailer looks good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mad Max. Hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
Far from the maddening crowd.
Yeah, but that's based on Prez, isn't it? The DC series Prez? Never mind.
No.
Tomorrowland.
I don't...
Oh, yeah, that does look good.
I saw a trailer for that this evening, and I didn't understand what was going on.
All you need to know...
That is going to be incredible.
All you need to know, Aaron, is Brad Bird's doing it. That's all you need to know.
Is Monsters Dark Continent is a sequel to that one, right?
Yeah, basically, it's the same story, but in the Middle East this time.
Yeah. I liked that one. I liked that movie, the first one.
Rob, have you seen the trailer for the Spooks movie?
No, I have not, but I've heard great things about it.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah,
you're on a Spooks movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kate Harington from Game of Thrones is in it. Yeah. Mm. And but they are picking it off from where the TV show left off. Which will mean no one in America will watch it.
It's okay.
That means the four people who just went, oh, damn, that's going to pick up from where the series left off. And that's basically me and the other people on this podcast.
So basically, it looks like they're kicking off summer, what, next week, practically? And
well,
then
they already
it's like
with some movie with cars in it.
Okay.
The Terminator movie this year as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Genesis is, when is that, July?
June 30th.
June.
Okay.
No, July 1.
Oh, yeah, you're right. July 1st. I'm looking at the wrong side of the chart here. I actually do want to see that. Because I like how they might be – it looks like they're taking a sort of Star Trek reboot bent to it, meaning in story, they're changing the story, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. Interesting – I'm interested to see how that Pixels movie does.
Yeah, I want it to be good, but the moment I'm like, what's his face? The moment it's revealed that Paul Blart is in it, it looks like some sort of weird Ghostbusters ripoff. I'm like, oh no, really?
It's Evolution 2.
Oh, don't say that. No, that can't be. Do you know? Okay,
hey, it's just in time for the X-Files.
Hang on, Aaron. Do you know what Evolution was?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Ghostbusters 3.
No, it was not. It was absolutely not. Evolution, the original script, was a serious science fiction fucked up story. It's a great script. The whole thing about when like the thing gets into Orlando Jones's suit and is like, oh, what's in here with me? That was a creature that ate the calcium out of you. And so it left the character in the original script a blob of just like skin and gristle. It was so far removed from the original. The original was so far removed from the. It's like if they had taken Event Horizon and had the Farrelly brothers direct it. That's how fucked up it was.
Actually, that would have made it a better film.
Yeah. Sadly, I've read the Event Horizon script, too, and that was better than the film.
Well, I'm almost done.
Actually, I could have seen Lawrence Fishburne in that.
Well, I enjoyed Event Horizon, but that's because it really fucked with my head. Let's see. We got Rogue Nation, which is out on the 31st of July, which I'm fine with.
What's the date on Inside Out?
That's let me see.
It's Pixar. I'm still curious.
Well, I will say I like the trailers. The later trailers makes it look like it's actually could be good. I'm assuming it's when the fuck is it? Hang on. I'm not seeing it.
Upside down.
Oh, it comes out June 19th.
Okay.
So let's hope it's good. I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. What is this?
I'll give it a benefit of the doubt. They still get that for at least one more movie.
I'll mostly doubt. Anyway, there's apparently a film coming out, Rocks, on December 4th called Krampus.
Yes, I saw that.
I don't know anything about it yet, but...
Oh, wait. When's Crimson... Did Crimson Peak get pump kicked to fall?
Let me see. I would assume so.
I'm guessing it did.
Hang on.
Have any of the gang finally seen Ex Machina yet? Do I have to stop telling you
October
guys?
October 16th.
I'm going tomorrow.
It's still unlimited here, isn't it?
It's getting a big push here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's still unlimited. I think it's about to go wide. Is it going wide this week?
This week, yeah.
Yeah.
It opened here last week, but I just couldn't get
I'm judging by the ads on ESPN, so I'm guessing it's going wide this week.
It'll take all the theaters that are filled now with the Will Smith, Will Ferrell movie. That's
So let's see. Where was I?
By the way, that story, that does anybody know if that was for real, the story that with Will Ferrell and somebody doing a Lifetime movie? Was that an April Fool's thing, or was that legit and they actually pulled the plug on it?
Will Ferrell's not doing anything at this point, I think, though.
Yeah, he's out of control.
Because there's something about Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig doing a Lifetime movie, and Lifetime confirmed it, and then weirdly they said they weren't. It was already filmed, but they aren't doing it, or something. I don't know. It sounded like an April Fool's joke.
Did it come out on April Fool's Day? That might be the thing that gave it away.
Calendars.
Yeah.
Fucking calendars, what are you going to do?
I don't know what day of the week is anymore. If it wasn't for these little emails and the hangouts, I wouldn't know it was a Tuesday.
But you know when every other Tuesday is.
Wait, it's a Tuesday?
No.
Oh my God!
We're lying to you now.
Is it Tuesday like an American? Is it a Tuesday like an Irishman?
Wait a minute, is this real? There is a sequel to Olympus Has Fallen? Really?
Yes, London Has Fallen, yes.
And then God!
Which it's worse, there's going to be a third one.
What?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a trilogy.
Paris Has Fallen?
No, Moscow.
Oh.
That movie was ridiculous.
Yes.
It was horrible.
That was Devlin, wasn't it?
What?
Was that Devlin that did Olympus Has Fallen? Was that him?
No.
Okay.
Antoine Fuqua directed the first one.
He did one of those President Under Siege ones, because there's a whole string of them in like.
Oh, no, no, wait. You're thinking of the other one that came out the same year.
Okay.
What the fuck was it? Hang on. It was, shit, where is it? White House Down.
White House Down, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say Watership Down.
That's actually a
Jamie Foxx played the rabbit.
Yeah, Olympus Has Fallen is the film that taught me a lot about how the Secret Service works. I had no idea that their training encouraged them, in fact mandated, that when under fire they should step out from behind cover to provide the biggest target possible while returning fire. I had no idea.
Yeah, you know
that
what, that's what
standard operating procedure.
Which that's the main lesson you learn from Call of Duty.
Duty.
Which is crazy, because basically it did $161 million worldwide on a $7 million production budget. It must have done really well in video. That's all I can say. Wow. I had no idea.
Is that Jamie Foxx money, yo?
No, but that's not Jamie Foxx.
That's not the Jamie Foxx one.
Am I getting confused with the other one as well?
The one with Jamie Foxx in it.
Yeah, you and everyone else, you're doing the Dante's Peak volcano thing.
Wait, which one's Channing Tatum in?
That's the one with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, he was too busy doing Magic Mike XXL.
So I got to look up Olympus.
He's taking his spare time between Gambit and.
It was Gerard Butler, Mike. Right?
So let's see. And then October 23rd is. What is this? Jim and the Holograms? What is that?
It's a touching, heartwarming story about a girl and her. Is get a shot of rocks during this.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's your cover shot for the whole thing.
There's another film for you, John. Coming out October 30th from Paramount,
No.
And Kristen B. Landon, the guy who did three of the Paranormal Activity movies. It's Scouts versus Zombies.
Yay!
Sweet.
I thought it was going to be Rock Lobster.
Scott's not here.
That was the B movie delivery there.
Did Scott leave?
Scott left.
That's hilarious. Wait, there's Scouts versus Zombies. I still need to see Cockneys versus Zombies.
God, I didn't know where you were going when you started that.
Why is it always Cockney Zombies? You?
That's no Sting than that.
Exactly.
And
I saw Cockneys versus Werewolves. No, Strippers versus Werewolves. That's what I saw.
Of course you did, because you were wearing your raincoat.
It was an actual real movie, and it had real stars in it too. Robert Englund was in it. There was who else was in it that you'd know? Martin Kemp. I'm trying to get all the stars in my head. But yeah, it was ridiculous. Worst movie ever. But yeah, sorry, go ahead. It took a total of 38 pounds at the box office.
Oh my God. Wait a minute.
Oh, Riff Trax is doing The Room. In like, I think in May. But Riff Trax is doing The Room. That is going to be fun.
Oh yeah.
Apparently there is a third Ring movie coming out on November 13th.
It's called De La Soul is Dead.
It's called Ring. Now, here's the thing. You can't do a sequel to The Ring called Rings unless you're involving Space Marines, okay?
Or Sonic the Hedgehog.
Or Sonic the Hedgehog, true. Oh, that shot here.
Yeah.
I didn't see things
shoot here, Winch.
No. I didn't see anything about it shooting here, and I sort of have an in with things that shoot here now, so it must have had like 14 days shooting or something. Wow.
They filmed outside the Claremont.
Was starring Johnny Galecki. Oh, really? Okay. That's funny. Let's see. Mockingjay Part 2, don't give a shit. Good Dinosaur apparently opens on Christmas.
Ooh, what's that?
Widge.
Is that like Good Bird?
What'd I do?
I know you didn't read the books, but the second half of that book, the part that they didn't show was the part that they showed was the least interesting part of that last book, so.
Well, but here's my question. Does that book have a camping section in it, a la Deathly Hallows?
Pretty much.
Okay, good. I figured as much. It really felt like that. And for God's sake, listen, for the stuff that I write, if you catch me camping, I want you to just walk up and slap me. Only the people on this podcast, not you, listener, because I don't trust you. The people on this podcast.
Oh, my God, we'll shake you. It's like, what are you doing out here? What is the matter with you? Did
have your there there out? Just kind of lean over and go, Widge?
You couldn't survive it.
You know what, Widge?
You're in a state park. Is everything
I know,
okay?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When I go outside, hang on. Let me explain. When I go outside,
oh, yeah, let's hear this.
When I go outside, I am wearing shoes lined with the soil of my native earth. That's how I don't burst into flames.
Well, the thing is I can't.
Quinn Yarbrough said it. I believe it.
You
native earth. I think Yarbrough camping would be like a third-rate motel with a black and white TV, right?
What is it, my native earth?
I can't picture you outside. I've seen it once. It's not pretty, people.
No, it's not.
It's not pretty. It's not.
I don't like going outside.
The entire neighborhood of where I live are still in shock and ask me about the larva man.
Hey, who was the pen man at your house last night?
And these are
people. I'm going to be in the X-Files reboot as Larva Man.
And these are people that live next door to rocks.
Yeah, seriously.
They've had years of living next to Brian Setzer to suffer through, and they ask about you.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes.
Hey, Rox.
Yes.
Next time you see Brian Setzer, will you ask him if you played Lenny or Squiggy in Laverne and Shirley for me?
I will. I will. Yeah.
That's not right.
Which Spinal Tap member was he?
Oh.
How many times did he burst into flames? What? What's happening?
So, Rox.
Yeah.
Next time I come to Jacksonville, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to take a bunch of Reverend Horton Heat CDs and throw them over his fence with a post-it note saying, "Listen to these, asshole."
Okay. That would be awesome. We could do that.
And then we could write about it for the zine.
Yes, we could.
I fully endorse this idea.
I am too. I'm all about the zines now. Woo! Woo!
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's... Oh, and there's, of course, the Peanuts movie. Is anyone excited about that at all?
Why?
What, you said the Peanuts movie, right?
I have no issue against them.
Well,
I don't really have a burning desire to watch it.
I don't know. Did you know that there
was,
like,
I'm ready for... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't realize that there were more Peanuts half-hour shows.
There's a ton of them.
There are a ton of them. I didn't know that. So it's like, why bother with this? I mean, it's like Race for Your Life. I mean, the other Peanuts movies, you know, like Come Home Snoopy or Go Home...
Actually, I would probably
Peppermint Patty,
a CGI Race for Your Life Charlie Brown film.
Oh, Race for Your Life Charlie Brown is the best by far.
I could do a CG reboot of that. That'd be
good. Yes, every single. I mean, there's like a, hey, it's Valentine's Day Charlie Brown, it's Arbor Day Charlie Brown, it's National Oatmeal Cookie Week Charlie Brown.
Which, by the way, is way different from It's Arbor Miss Charlie Brown.
No, that's me at Dragon Con.
If you say that three times,
well done, you got to it first.
Emily will show up.
It's a zombie, Charlie Brown.
I just want to be let back in the camp, okay?
Yeah.
It's Gay Pride, Peppermint Patty.
I'm fine now, all right? I just want to come back inside the camp.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay. It's the head, Charlie.
Oh my God,
Charlie Brown.
Mercy. Sir.
What's that? Marcy, what?
Get back in the house, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yes,
legalize it, Charlie Brown.
Cosette just texted me to say that she gives love to the entire Weekend Justice League. She's currently on set.
I wish.
She gives love to Charlie Brown.
The little redhead girl is having a discount, Charlie Brown.
Oh, she just wants good guy point.
Give me a PlayStation, Charlie Brown.
Where does she want the point?
The sloppy seconds, Charlie Brown.
Okay, so
we'll see that the crossover.
Wait, it's Rob. Worse than that is it's cuckoldry, Charlie Brown.
All right,
it's a vegan pirate strip club, Charlie Brown.
There was a Mad Magazine take on Charlie Brown, like, I don't know, back in near the 80s. So it was like Charlie Brown characters grown up and Charlie Brown marries Lucy. However, his kid looks like Schroeder. Anyway. And then there was a scene where Charlie Brown's upstairs in the attic and he's reminiscing, you know, with the football and the kite and stuff, and then the last panel is, well, I hope Lucy will let me out of the attic now that their bridge club is done.
Wow.
So, but yeah, look that up, Mad Magazine.
Well, also there was the black and white animated film in which Charlie Brown goes apeshit and murders everyone.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Oh my God.
That is actually based on the 50s Peanut strips.
Violet. The only one that lives is Pigpen.
Thanks for the candy bar.
The Texas Death. Peanuts Massacre.
Yeah.
Would you like some candy, Charlie Brown?
Get in the van, Charlie Brown.
It's assault on Precinct 13, Charlie Brown.
What? I didn't watch that.
It's okay. You could go with strangers, Charlie Brown.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it hurts because it's too close to the
Charlie Brown.
Oh, it hurts. Why does it hurt when I pee, Charlie Brown?
Washington not won, by the way.
Not those crabs, Charlie Brown.
it's a Frank Zappa reference, and that's not Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Oh God!
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Well, at this point, we should just do recommendations.
I know.
It's
yeah.
a bit. It's almost too late. It's almost too late, Charlie Brown. We know where you live, Charlie Brown.
Go on without me, Charlie Brown.
The witness protection program failed, Charlie Brown. What? Oh. So, all right, fine. Well, at this point, we should probably, like Matt Murdock fighting off bad guys in a hallway in a single take, we should drunkenly fall into the realm of recommendations. So who wants to go first?
I can go first, I suppose.
Go, definitely.
Alabama Shakes have a new album out called Sound and Color, which is quite good. Out actually as we record this today, so nicely done there. The Foo Fighters Sonic Highways series is out on DVD and digital and iTunes and Blu-ray and stuff. So if you missed that, and John's probably going to disagree with me, but it's a better documentary than an album, and the album wasn't that bad. So, you know, check that out.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. So there's that. Also... So it's finally out. So, you know, go out and get this. The Wombats album Glitterbug is out, which is very nice and enjoyable. A little pop music. They're going a bit more poppy with their records, but it's okay. And Your Body is a Weapon is still on the album, which is important.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yes. So if you missed it the first time, you can still go get it now on the record. And that's going to do it. Whoa, oh, hang on. Orphan Black Season 3. That is happening. That is a thing that is happening now. So check that out, because the first episode was just awesome. I enjoyed that. So check that out. Ding.
Cool. Thanks, Duffley. All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go Rocks.
I'm reading The Peripheral, the latest in William Gibson's books. He has a cool take on time travel where you use a body in the future and your mind goes to the future. It's really cool. His prose it reminds me of the whole Burning Chrome type stuff and Mona Lisa Overdrive. So he's actually gone back to that kind of cyberpunk style of writing, and it's a very enjoyable. So The Peripheral is one. The Floating City, a rogue sociologist lost and found in New York's underground economy.
It's the only thing that would make that more your book, Rocks, would be if it was on trains.
I know. Yeah. However,
and maybe they found Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
On the train.
On the train.
Yes. By Sudhir Venkatesh, who wrote Gang Leader for a Day, which was really good, of his time in Detroit. His take is he goes to New York and he talks to the people who are on the lower tier of the economy. You know, he talks to video game or video store owners who allow prostitutes to use the back room. And it's interesting, the whole take of how the underground economy works in a large city, because I'm doing a lot of business research for the next couple months. So this is like homework. You know, everybody needs homework. And
you
it's really
expense kind of, that.
Yes, I will. I'll expense this one. Anyway, so that's that. Ooh, bought a new ride. New ride for me. Another bike. It is a Surly, S-U-R-L-Y, Surly long-haul trucker touring bicycle. Really awesome, really fast, and it's really cool. I love it. Took me like 3 days to get the right bike. I just need that. It's almost custom. So, I think that's all I got. That's all I got.
Cool. Done. Thank you, Rox.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
I'm going to recommend a TV show, which is called Raised by Wolves. It's written by Caitlin Moran. And it's essentially an autobiography sitcom about when she was a teenage girl growing up with her sisters in a rather odd house where her mother was a bit paranoid about the government taking their rights and not giving money to anybody. It's just a lot of fun, and it's nice to see a very female-led show. On that same point, this weekend I picked up The Heat on DVD, which is actually probably the best buddy cop film I've seen since Lethal Weapon. So if you were interested in seeing Sandra Bullock do a comedy turn, Melissa McCarthy being awesome as always, it's actually better than you might think. And we shall not crush the patriarchy until it has more movies than Lethal Weapon ever did. And then finally, needcoffee.com/crowd. By the time you hear this, I'll probably only be 2 or 3 days left, but for the love of God, put me out of my misery and throw a few bucks that way. I'd appreciate
it. Throw a lot of bucks
that way. If you have 22 grand on you or so, throw it in there. But yeah, so that's me.
Alright, thanks, Aaron. Let's see who's left. Rob, I believe that takes us to you.
Okay, I'm going to start off with a zine, because I've been reading a lot of them lately, which is kind of probably frightening. But Rox, do you know who Joshua Landsman is?
I do.
He has a new zine out called Index Cards I Have Drawn.
Wait, for the rest of us, who is this guy?
He does like these weird cut and paste things where they look like journal notebooks and they have like photos in them mm-hmm. of stuff. Very cut and paste kind of style, but very sort of haphazard looking, but very sort of content wise, very strong. But he has a new one called Index Cards I've Drawn, which are all little pictures of index cards that he's drawn in a zine. And it's great. So I do want to recommend that. And you can get it at Quimby's and your local independent comic book store as well. But I highly recommend that. And it's fun. You don't even have to really love zines to appreciate. The aesthetic of it is just mm-hmm. great. And Rox, I'll probably just send you mine when I'm done, because I don't think I've got room.
Yay! Just so you know, Rob, just so you know, the zines you've donated eventually find their way to the Jacksonville Public Library zine collection.
And that's what I thought. And what I was going to tell you is I was in Chicago, and if you actually go to the Art Institute, they actually have the zine and the graphic art collection. It is actually there. So God help you all. because they have a contemporary graphic art and zines. They're doing a collection of them, which is actually pretty awesome. And Rox, I'll send you the link, but there's a movement now for the Smithsonian to start and the Library of Congress to start collecting zines.
I'll have to send you the link to the guy that I met at the antiquarian book sale last year before. And that's all he does. He handles, I mean, the boingboing.net, they started out as a zine, and
yep.
The number one issue goes for around $500.
Yeah.
And there are some zines out there that there was a guy that at the booth that spent like $500 just on a series of zines. Most of them were like from the 70s and they were music zines.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. There's money on stuff that, you know.
A lot of the punk ones there's money in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I've got a couple. But yeah. The other thing, and I'm sure Tuffley's talked about this, the new Courtney Barnett record. Sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit. Rox, I think you'd even like it.
Oh, okay.
She's from Australia, and she does these sort of like quirky, angry, melancholy sort of "Wow, I did something stupid" kind of songs.
That's really good. I do all the time. Yeah.
No, but it's catchy. I mean, no, it's just. What I mean is, it's not really depthful, and it's not really going to weigh you down, because I know you're grieving. So you're not going to get like sad.
I think I'm better, Rob. I think I'm better.
I know, but well, already.
I have now suitors who want me to dole out good guy points. So
she's getting a PlayStation.
I'm getting a PlayStation.
She's going to share.
Yeah.
She's getting share. So no, then I do want
to. She ran outside. She's getting a share after running outside and asking for a PlayStation.
No, she's getting share because Silkwood's on. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh! Why don't we do this? Okay, randomly, our listeners right now, go run out to the street wherever you live and shout out some 70s pop singer. Just shout it out. In front of your house. Do it right now while you're listening.
And if you're doing
it right now.
And if you're doing laundry, you can stay inside and shout it out.
Why do you ruin everything, Widge? You ruin everything.
That's what I do. I have the reverse Midas touch, unlike John's penis.
Wow.
Well, that's what this podcast is really all about.
Now, the question is, John going to check it? Oh, never mind. There he is.
Golden penis.
Well, John had to run off and check.
See, what happened was, you remember the little pond in Voyage of the Dawn Treader that turned everything gold? Well, yeah, he had to try it.
No. No, but you know, now if
that is not how golden showers happens, John.
John Boutel is gold member.
All I could say is, you know, I'm sure the next time I see John's wife, you're a lucky woman. Before saying hello, you're a lucky woman.
Oh God.
Okay.
Well, it's like monster cables, you just pay more for it.
No, it's not gold-plated, Tuffley. It's gold. It's solid gold. It's so solid gold, it's got dancers.
It's got dancers in Dionne Warwick? Really?
Gold penis.
Although, if it's the later years, you would have gotten Rick Dees, so that maybe that's not a good thing.
Oh! Wow.
You mean Dick Dees.
Well, that's what you call him now. So that's fine.
No, it is not fine.
That brings up serious questions about Disco Duck, doesn't it?
Ooh, oh.
Wait, what? Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there. Yeah, I went there.
It is so sad I already have a title for this episode.
Oh, and the win goes to Tuffley. Normally it usually goes to me for all times. Good for you, Tuffley.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's he comes in second. although I'm gonna have to seriously think about it. Not Disco Duck, but the title.
Okay.
Well, and Disco Duck, but more the title.
Why don't we just call it John's Gold Penis and leave it at that for the episode?
If I did call it the title, it would be called John's Gold Penis and leave it at that for the episode. It would be the entire entire thing.
Or the Fall Guy.
Yay, I get the win.
Fall Guy.
The Fall Guy.
Only if I replace Clutch with the Fall Guy theme song sung by Lee Majors at the end.
That'd be great.
Actually, you'd probably get way more hits if you just call it John Golden Penis.
John Golden Penis. And except for when he was in the Legion of Superheroes, then he was John Gold Penis Lad.
How about on?
No, John, that's a different Booster Gold. Sorry.
Scott was portraying the character known as Matter Eater Lad in that episode.
See, over here, you can just call it Jungle Lad because the euphemism works.
We don't care where you are.
It's location-based.
Yes, you do.
It's location-based.
I do. It's exotic.
Wait, John's penis is exotic?
No. It has location services as well.
Yes.
I think it just means it's a bit like a jungle down there.
Yes.
He's getting nervous at the amount of time we're talking about his penis.
Wait, if it's really like jungle, is it busy earning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is it always cock with you?
I don't know! I'm arguing with myself again! Normally I do this in the privacy of my own home. Alright, so... Thank you,
Rob. It all devolves into golden pieces.
I don't know if Rob was done.
I don't think Rob was done.
Are you done?
No, I didn't even really get the start.
We were all distracted by the shiny golden penis, so please feel free.
I'd like to give out the 2015 Golden Penis Award.
Again. Yeah. Okay, so I want to recommend Dead Wake, which is the new book from Eric Larson. It's all about the sinking of the Lusitania. It's actually really, really great. Larson did Devil in the White City. But this is sort of like that, but it's pretty great. So I want to recommend that. Also, a band from Liverpool called Stealing Sheep. Their second album is called Not Real. It's very poppy and British, and you'll love it. And also a band called Slug, which is they're British. But if you are fans of things like DFA 1979 or Wild Beasts, then you want to check them out because they're loud and they make noise.
Yes.
So I do.
Quite good.
They are very, very loud.
Yes. But I'd never heard of them until this. So there you are. And then also, we saw these guys when we were in Chicago. They're called Public Broadcast System. And they're two English guys. And basically what they do is every album has a theme. The new album is called The Space Race. Mm-hmm. And it's all basically audio and video clips from various parts of the space race. And there's two guys. One plays guitar, banjo, and bass, and the other guy plays drums. And they play that live over a screen, playing it all of it, and it's pretty fun. So I do recommend Public Service Broadcasting in there as well. And that's it for me, Ding.
That is a really good album, by the way. That Race for Space album. Really love that.
Oh yeah, it's great. And live, they were so fun live.
Yeah.
And the lead singer wears the whole tweed thing. He totally loves the tweed.
I like tweed.
All right, Rob, thank you for that penis-free recommendations. So speaking of penis, John, that brings us to you. What do you have for us?
My golden penis. Enjoy.
I'd like to recommend Polish.
I would like to offer up my golden penis for anybody that donates $1,000 to the Kickstarter.
Really? I will legit do the same thing.
What, you'll offer up my golden penis?
You're offering John's penis too?
I'll place it in.
Whoa!
That's my guarantee to you, dear donor.
No,
if you I don't think you can. Are you trying to molest Kickstarter? Is that what you're trying to do?
Somebody has to.
I think Tuffley at that point, he's successfully. He's not trying. He's doing it.
That's a different sort of kick.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, I really don't have much to recommend. Surprise, surprise. Other than the Kickstarter. Please go help them out.
Actually, you know what you could recommend? What is that light that keeps changing color behind you?
Well,
what is
there,
that?
Is that a Philips? Is that Philips U?
Wait, is that a light that never goes out?
Damn.
Sorry.
You've lit Morrissey again, haven't you?
Well, I once got told that my butt was a light that never goes out, and I think it's the greatest compliment that I've ever received in my life.
What? Wait a minute. Your ass is bioluminescent?
Apparently, in some circles.
Yes, but can you control your ass light by a phone?
Wait. There's a song about this. It goes like this. Turn on your ass light. Dee-dee-dee. Let it shine wherever you go.
9 out of 10 proctologists agree.
Show the way.
I guess I could recommend.
Oh, you're going for sticks? Wow. Okay.
No.
What? No.
No.
So, John, what is that light?
It's
what
just
is
a,
that?
It's just an LED light.
I don't want to interrupt you, John, but what was?
Hold on.
He's gonna show us.
There is an ass that never goes out.
John, put the dick away.
Again.
Oh, wow. Okay. You can recommend that.
And there's a remote control. Well, actually, I did buy these on Amazon using needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Okay, there you go. Look at that. Was that so hard?
And I... That's what she said.
You know how to edit this show, right? You know how to do it.
Please.
This whole show is... an outtake show.
I'll also recommend IKEA for all of your stand-up desk needs. I built myself a stand-up desk from parts of IKEA. Oh, yeah, and by the way, it is a history. It is what do you call it? A
desk.
Yes. Yeah. It's a it's a thing we always do as we leave for IKEA. As we play the Jonathan Colton song, we have to, and as we leave, we play it as well.
Nice.
So, my kids sing along. It's all fun. So anyway, yes, but I did buy these LEDs, these little LEDs. I think they're like $5 or something through needcoffee.com/Amazon. And they're cool for all your party needs, I guess.
Yes, because there's always a party in your pants.
It's an expensive party.
Buy a bioluminescent one.
Yeah.
Actually, if we can put your ass light and John's penis on tour, you could probably make the money for the documentary.
We could create a strobe light by doing some fun things together.
Welcome to the Aaron Fieber, John Boutel, ass and penis rave.
It's the fucking Pink Floyd light show. They're taking that out of
the
room. Gold lasers.
Ass, titties, ass and titties.
The thing about Aaron's ass, though, is you got to break it and shake it, and then it glows.
Oh, I thought you had to bend it and break it.
Weirdly, I have no witticism for that. All the dick jokes I've had over the years. How have I got a comeback for that?
There is that new Janelle Monáe song.
Listen, it's 4 a.m., guys. Give me...
Was it 4 a.m. and the light was gray like it always is in paperbacks? Sorry.
Boo.
I'm so sorry.
Boo.
Oh, dear Jeebus. Sweet Jesus fighting Jesus. All right.
Actually, Jesus is an exclusive character in Mortal Kombat 10.
That would be great.
We need those numbers for Lotto. Look that up.
Wait, Toughly, you take out the character and it goes, Divinity, excellent. All right. Okay, John, so you're done, yes?
Sure.
Okay, yes, John, done. Thank you, John. All right, so for my...
Put it away, old man. Put it away.
What?
Floor. I genuinely think he's on the floor.
This is a spin-off of that bit in Secret Wars 3 where the Beyonder turned that entire building into gold. Yeah.
I was finishing the desk.
You mean you were drilling. Ladies.
Previously on desk. Wood. That's a classic Stephen Sondheim musical bit. Finishing the desk. So that brings us to whoever I am. And I will recommend, first of all, during our off week, from what I could tell, for the first time ever, the movie Convoy is hitting Blu-ray.
Yes!
So you need to watch Convoy and then find and watch Idris Elba, King of Speed, and then you will love it. So that's on Blu-ray. I have two albums to recommend as well. I'm going to recommend Adventure, which is the first full length from Madion.
Hey, I was going to mention that. That's a great record.
Yeah, it's really good. He is disgusting. He is from, not because he's from France, because he's 20 fucking years old. So, as the man said, his vigor for life appalls me. But yeah, no, Adventure's really good. A couple of his songs made my best of 2012, which if you think about it, at that point, he was like fucking, what, 17, 18? Disgusting. So I also want to recommend, I'm going to butcher his name, but I think it's Sufjan Stevens, right? That is right, right?
Yes.
His album, Carrion Lowell, is amazing.
Oh.
It is stupidly amazing.
After the last couple albums, that was a nice comeback for him.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay. Because I was like, wow.
And you're bringing us back to the Jesus, too, which is also good.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, fighting Jesus. You know.
He loves the Jesus, so.
That's all right. But no, it is a very subdued, very, it's not very happy, but it's very well executed. I really enjoyed it. So I recommend that as well. Think about whatever it is that you wind up drinking when you're listening to Tom Waits.
Turpentine?
Pull that back about 50% and then have that on hand.
Wow. Yeah.
And then follow it with a Leonard Cohen chaser.
Oh, Christ.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And here's a box of razor blades when you're done.
Yeah.
I'm not hinting. I'm just going to walk away. Have fun. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Nah. I'll do more than hint. It's a miracle that I got through one full listening of the Future album and did not kill myself. So I did take it out of the CD player and throw it across the room.
Breaker 19, this here's Robert Dunn. You got a copy on me, Love Machine. 10-4 pig pen. For sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Taco Town. Yeah, we definitely got us the front door, good buddy. Mercy sake, they're alive. Looks like we got us a convoy.
This is what we play out, right?
This has been Weekend Justice for NeedCoffee.com.
Yeah, just slowly faded out. We're gone.
Oh, no, that thing's a classic.
He's 10 on the floor, stroking bore, seat cover starting to gain.
And now the Kodak. For you,
I'm about to pull a plug on your drink.
Oh, Jesus. So, I think on that note, on that bombshell...
which Earth is Convoy?
Hang on. Convoy is... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. can actually seriously answer that. Hang on a second. Hang on.
I thought you could.
Let me pull up the Marvel Wiki. Hang on.
We're gonna edit this. It's fine, folks.
Hang on. This is we'll edit it. Sure we will. Sure. Sure we will. Absolutely. Of course we will.
He'll have the answer right at his fingertips when we edit this, folks.
Which the more you say that, the more you say that, the less I believe you. I don't
That's
know why that is.
You are wise. Wait, no! I want to go to... Where is it? Go to here. Okay, there you go. Where... This has to have... No, there has to be an Earth for this! You have an Earth for everything fucking else!
Well, we have an Earth for this.
I'm your Asgardian.
Oh my god, really?
We got all these super friends.
Wait, I've got an answer. Toughly.
Yes.
Okay, apparently, I would argue that because the comic US 1 takes place officially in the 616 universe, so does Convoy.
Okay.
Mega numbers for next week.
Hey, Witch?
Yeah.
The Thor in Adventures in Babysitting, what universe does that take place in?
Oh my god, don't do this! We'll
you look
be
that
able
up.
To leave! What is the matter with you, Rob? This is Sorry. A time slip! You can't do this! I'll never be able to leave!
Hang on, Rox, it's okay, it's okay. It is Earth 100015.
Really?
By the way,
for those of you playing along at home, you can continue this with hashtag Alt Marvel.
Strikes, proton cannon.
And our favorite answer wins a date with Scott.
All right.
No, so, we want people to actually do this, Wade.
Oh, sorry.
No, we want people to do Scott.
John, Belviv DeVoe, do me now.
Wait, what? Was that an offer? I mean, was that an offer?
Please,
Is that like a call to transmute, like Voltron or something?
I'm sorry, this is the closest I have for that.
John, all I can tell you is, I had for some reason in my mind that you were going to play the theme song to the arcade game Mr. Do. I don't know why. But I did.
But I can't. So, I can play this.
You'll love me when I'm angry.
I'm going to take you for a ride.
What?
We got all these super friends. Oh, oh, oh. And we're in it till the end. Oh,
oh God.
Oh, oh. No. So, Rock, are you releasing if you didn't find Bob at all?
What? I'm checking out.
She's moving out.
You can check out.
I'm checking in, checking in. No more booze and alcohol. No more goddamn Adderall. No more stinking fun at all. I'm checking out. He's checking in.
I was actually going with Roxanne works at the podcast store, saving her pennies for someday. All right, so before something else happens and somebody else asks me a question that plays into my OCD complex, I think that we should, at this particular moment...
Do you think if Jesus was a crime fighter, he would have lived?
Yeah, what earth is Jesus on?
Well, of course, John, he was on Earth Prime.
No, that was New Universe. Does New Universe count?
Wait, is it New Universe or New Universal? Which one is it, Tuffley?
What?
Could be both. Probably both, since, we're talking Ellis here.
I prefer Ultimate Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to say this.
Ultimate Jesus. Yeah, black.
Ultimate Jesus.
You mean like he probably actually was?
Yeah.
All right, before anything else happens, I think we should take a moment and quickly say, before something else happens, repetitive stress.
Are we supposed to actually say it? I
no,
always get confused
not,
by that.
I
bit.
Know. I don't yeah, I do him. It just to humor him. That's what Cosette does.
Yes, actually, yes.
She
That's
does
the foundation
it just to humor
of our
him?
Marriage.
It's
she tells
just
me
like
about it.
Taking text. His Tourette's medication. It's fine.
Yeah, this is me on Tourette's medication. Imagine how I would be without it.
Yeah. When's that larva
man coming back?
Affair, but
larva man,
have
a
larva time. Man does whatever a larva can.
Larva man too.
Pale and white, micro size. Oh my God! Look at those thighs! Look out! Here comes the larva man.
By the way, Sam Raimi, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Hope Danger Woman doesn't sue you for that.
Wait, who's gonna sue me? Tom Petty? What?
No, yes. Danger Woman.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, because that sounded really close to Refugee Witch.
Yeah.
That sounded really close to Refugee?
Do you ever notice you never see Danger Woman and Sam Smith in the same place?
You know, I was wondering about that.
Or Aaron, for that matter.
Wow!
I told it wasn't.
Hey, that's who we get for Scott is Sam Smith. We could start a letter writing campaign.
Oh, I thought we were going to get Danger Woman for him.
Oh,
that too.
No. That'll be the best art exhibit ever.
That's our.
Wait, Rocks, I've got it. So you put them in a cube like Rox was like Scott was talking about, but you have Tilda Swinton outside watching them.
No. I have plans for her.
Well, Rox, this is how you get the drop on her.
I thought she had a restraining order on you.
That was your Christmas present, Rox.
You're going to put Tilda Swinton in a box for rocks for Christmas?
I've got Tilda in a box. What is it with me and singing tonight? Sorry.
I don't know.
It's the meds. It's my Tourette's medication. I'm very sorry.
Sorry. It still sounds better than Spandau Ballet.
That's all right. Wow.
Hey, Widge, fuck that medication.
That's our Boxing Helena reboot.
Whoa! Ultimate Boxing Helena.
Tournament edition.
Yeah, in that version Turbo. the box was black. What were you saying, John?
Oh, I was just telling you, fuck the Tourette's medication.
that's the name of the second volume of my autobiography. Oh God! All right, fine. Let us all run away because I need to pee.
No.
That's a Wesley Willis tour waiting to happen.
Which would be now.
That's what we call Avengers Arse of Ultron.
And we're done.
Thank God. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
And here's Dakota.
Weirdly, I have no witticism for that.